Yes. Thank you. ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയുടെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി ജയം. നെത്തിലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ടോം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വ മഹർഷിയുടെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദക്കി നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ്, ഓൾ glory to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glory to Shri La Prabhupada. Shri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Narayana Namaste Sarasvati Devam Prajarini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatyadi Shatarini Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ.
ഓം
നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. സംസാര സാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹ്യ ഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാം ഉദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൽ. ശ്രീമൽ ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്വന്നോ യത പ്രഭോ. നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിംപരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൽ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദയ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയാഃ. തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവം അത്ര വസ്തുശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമൽ ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യമരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ. നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃഗദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം. യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുപേതം അപേതകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയദയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനദോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയിൽ. കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂത്തെ കലവേണുക്കൊണിതാതൃതാനെന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ മധുരിം ന കണികാപി കാപി കാപി നമോ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണീ പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശകാരിണേ ശ്രീമല് ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാതി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യ പരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമാം മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ want to start with the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam which is known in the Bhagavatam terminology it is called Nirodham. Nirodham means that which is blocking us away from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or in other words what comes between us and Krishna, that is something that is obstructing us in coming into a relationship or a contact with Krishna, something that is obstructing us. So what is that thing in us that is actually obstructing us from Krishna? The conclusion of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that there is one element in our body which is stopping us in going closer to Krishna, and that element is known as the mind. The mind is the thing that obstructs us from going towards Krishna. When this mind is under the influence of Maya or the three modes of material nature, who are the agents of Maya, we do not have any connection with Krishna, or in other words we are unable to perceive Krishna's presence in this world. Our relationship with Krishna, everything is forgotten. So you can see that that thing which is actually causing, and what is this mind? Mind is nothing but a part of the subtle body. The gross body, as much as it is, has got a temporary life. The gross body dies off when our life is finished in this world. When one day we drop down, the gross body is finished. So gross body is not our main problem. Our problem is this subtle body. The subtle body, of which the main component is this mind. And unless and until the mind is completely taken out, or in other words, when the mind is completely under control, which is known as Mano Nirodham. This Mano Nirodham is the goal of 10th canto. So that is why from the very beginning of the 10th canto itself, you will find that all the pastimes of Krishna, especially childhood pastimes, which is known as Balalila, or the childhood pastimes, and all the other pastimes later on, and even the instructions which Krishna has left behind in the 11th canto, they all have one goal,
of bringing us closer to Krishna. That what is stopping us going closer to Krishna has been is this mind. And unless and until the mind is purified and the mind has properly understood its position as the purified mind, because it's purified senses, purified intelligence. But the purified mind is the most important thing in perceiving Krishna in the creation. So Mano Nirodham, as the Shastra says, is the goal of this the process of this 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So before we read on to this, we have certain things from the 9th canto itself. You can see how Sukadeva Goswami was arranging Parikshit Maharaj to prepare for this 10th canto. As I mentioned in the last class, that the Srimad Bhagavatam brings everyone ultimately to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And to understand Krishna, one has to have that purification in one's mind and also a certain degree of seriousness in spiritual life. Otherwise, it is difficult to understand Krishna. To understand Krishna, normally it is very difficult. Even for liberated personalities, they say that to understand Krishna is very difficult. So if for them, if it is so difficult, you can understand what's the situation for conditioned souls like us. Our own situation is very, very hard to understand our position in relationship with Krishna. So therefore, in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Shukan has, Sukadeva Goswami, while speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, has given certain indications, and Parikshit Maharaj understood that from the early, because of his seriousness. This relationship with Sukadeva Goswami and or Sri Shukan and Parikshit Maharaj is very, very significant, because a proper spiritual master and a proper disciple, that is what that means, that relationship means. So when Sukadeva Goswami was talking to Parikshit Maharaj on the banks of River Ganga, when Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, Sukadeva Goswami gave certain hints to Parikshit. You can see that in the two chapters before the end of 9th canto. I think it is in the 22nd chapter, where he mentioned to Parikshit the whole list of kings, generations after generations, who have come in this succession of the lunar dynasty. But at one point, Sukadeva Goswami opened up and told Parikshit who are going to be the kings in the future after Parikshit's time. Parikshit even couldn't imagine in his own mind that so-and-so, Janamejaya, is going to be his son, and Janamejaya's son will be so-and-so, and his son will be so-and-so, and this is what's going to happen to Janamejaya. All these things Sukadeva Goswami spoke in advance, even before it has happened. Parikshit Maharaj knew that Janamejaya is his son, because when he left the palace to perform this Prayobhavesham or to come and listen to Sukadeva Goswami, he already knew that Janamejaya is his son, and he handed over the administration to Janamejaya before he came to Ganga River. But he didn't know anything what was going to happen afterwards. But Sukadeva Goswami, very well in advance, spoke about another few generations who is going to come after Janamejaya's time, and what was going to happen to Janamejaya, that he was going to perform this sacrifice of the snakes because Takshaka will bite Parikshit, and in retaliation to that, or to take revenge on the serpents, on the snake community, in other words, Janamejaya will perform this snake sacrifice and many, many snakes will be killed in that sacrifice. Janamejaya will be subjected to leprosy and a heavy disease, which he will have to suffer due to killing innocent snakes who have not done anything to him. And all these things in advance Sukadeva Goswami saw, and he was able to see these things. From this, what do we understand? You can see from this how much Sukadeva Goswami knew about the future, what was going to happen. This is the power of that great sage. Not only Sukadeva Goswami, many of the great sages had the vision to see to their divine eyes through them beyond the Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, just like we have in the vacant state, dream state, and the deep sleep. But these sages who go beyond, who can go beyond these three states of existence, they can see what is going to happen in the future, and in advance they can warn the people what one should prepare for. So therefore, Sukadeva Goswami has already given an indication to Parikshit in the ninth canto list, when the kings were listed there and mentioned about the Lunar dynasty. So Parikshit have from then on have become more serious about it, and he had no option except to continue listen to Sri Shukan. And from there we move on to the 10th canto. But Sukadeva Goswami has done even another some more interesting thing at the end of 9th canto. If you look at 9th canto, you will see at the very end, there are, after describing the whole Lunar dynasty, Sukadeva Goswami has given indication that the appearance of Krishna and some limited description of Krishna's activities in Gokul, in Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwaraka, and returning back to the abode. All these things are mentioned in two or three verses at the end of the 9th canto. So after discussing this 9th canto, describing this 9th canto, Sukadeva Goswami also mentioned to Parikshit Maharaj that prior to going back to the spiritual world, to his own abode, Krishna decided to impart the highest knowledge to Uddhava. Prachodhavaya japaram samagal swadhamam. Before returning back to his own dhamam, his own swadhamam, he decided to instruct Uddhava, and then he returned back to his abode. And there finished the 9th canto. When Parikshit Maharaj heard this description of these instructions of 9th canto, or the description of 9th canto, Parikshit Maharaj was in absolutely shock to hear that Sukadeva Goswami had finished the whole activities of Krishna in two or three verses. It has actually shocked him. Why he was shocked? Because for so many days, more or less, it is the middle of the fourth day by the time we arrive at the 10th canto. On a 7 days, if you recite Srimad Bhagavatam for continuously for 7 days, almost the middle of fourth day, you will arrive somewhere at the end of the 9th canto. So at that time, Parikshit thought himself that, is this the end of Sukadeva Goswami's discussion on the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna? I have been sitting here for so many days without eating, without sleeping, without drinking anything, just to hear about only one thing, about the Supreme Personality Krishna. Why did Sukadeva Goswami finish it up in such a short, few verses, and did not elaborate it anymore? All these questions came up in Parikshit's mind. So naturally, Parikshit was very inquisitive to hear about Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami, no doubt, was very inquisitive to speak about Krishna as well. But normally it is, as a spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami had a responsibility to find out how far Parikshit was inquisitive to hear. In a relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple, there are so many important things one has to take into consideration. This is important because in the modern days, these relationships have changed as it used to be in the traditional times in the Vedic culture. Many things have influenced. The age of Kali also has a contributing factor in the relationship between spiritual master and the disciple. And Parikshit Maharaj's curiosity, or Parikshit Maharaj's desire to hear about Krishna, increased when Sukadeva Goswami abruptly pulled the curtain and finished Bhagavatam there. At the end of 9th canto, if you read it, you will notice this. He has abruptly pulled the curtain and finished Srimad Bhagavatam at the end of 9th canto. It was because of this only, the beginning of 10th canto comes with a lot of questions from Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj started asking questions, and he wanted to know from Sukadeva Goswami why he decided to finish Srimad Bhagavatam in this way. You can see, that is why we will read Srimad Bhagavatam, that first chapter, because this first chapter, we'll read it and then we will discuss in detail about that. श्रीराजोवाच कथितो वंशविस्तारं भवता सोमसूर्ययोः राज्ञां चोभयवंश्यानां चरितं परमाद्भुतम् यदोश्च धर्मशीलस्य नितरां मुनिसत्तमा तत्रांशेनवतीर्णस्य विष्णोर्वीर्यानिशंसनाम् अवतीरेदो वंशे भगवान् भूतभावना कृतवान् यानि विश्वात्मा तानि नो वद विस्तराल् निवृत्तदर्शैरुपगीयमानाल् भवौषधच्छोत्रमनोभिरामाल् क उत्तम श्लोक गुणानुवादाल् पुमान् विरज्येत विना पशुघ्नाल् पितामहामे समरे अमञ्जैर्देवव्रताध्यातिरथैः स्तिमिङ्गलैः दुरत्ययम् कौरवसैन्यसागरम् कृत्वादरन् वल्सपदम् स्मयल्प्लवाः द्रौण्यस्त्रविप्लुष्टमिदम् मदङ्गम् सन्दानबीजम् कुरु पाण्डवानाम् जुगोपकुक्षिम् गदमात्तचक्रो मातुश्च मेयः शरणम् गदायाः वीर्याणि तस्याखिलदेहभाजाम् अन्तर्बहिम् पूरुषकालरूपैः प्रयच्छतो मृत्युमुदामदं च मायामनुष्यस्य वदस्वविद्वन् रोहिण्यास्तनय प्रोक्ता रामासङ्घर्षणस्त्वया देवख्या गर्भसम्बन्ध कुतो देहान्तरं विना कस्मान्मुकुन्दो भगवान् पितुर्गेहाल्व्रजं गदा को वासं यादिभिः सार्धं कृतवान् सात्वदां पदीम् व्रजे वसन् किमकरोन् मधुपुर्याम् च केशवाम् भ्राधरम् चावधील् कंसम् मधुरद्धातदर्हणम् देहम् मानुषमाश्रित्य कति वर्षाणि वृष्णिभिः यदुपुर्याम् सहावाल्सील् पत्न्या कुत्यभवन् प्रभोः एतदन्यच्च सर्वम् मे मुनि कृष्णविजेष्टिरम् वक्तुमर्हसि सर्वज्ञ श्रद्धदानाय विस्तृतम् नैषादी दुःसहाक्षुन्माम् त्यक्तोदमभिबाधते पिबन्दम् त्वन्मुखाम्बोजच्युदम् हरिकथामृतम् श्रीसूत उवाच एवम् निशम्य भृगुनन्दनसाधुवादम् वैयासगी स भगवानथ विष्णुराधम् प्रत्यर्च्य कृष्णचरितम् करिकल्मषग्नम् व्याहर्तुम् आरभत भागवत प्रधानाः श्रीशुक उवाच सम्यग् व्यवसिता बुद्धि स्तवराजर्षि सत्तम वासुदेव कथायां ते यज्जादा मैष्टिकीरतीम् वासुदेव कथा प्रश्न पुरुषां स्त्रीन् पुनादिः वक्तारं पृच्छगं श्रोत्रं तल्पादसलिलं यथा भूमेव दृप्तनृपव्याजत् दैत्यानीकशतायुधैः आक्रान्ता भूरिभारेण ब्रह्माणम् शरणम् ययौ गौर्भुत्वा अश्रुमुखी खिन्न क्रन्दन्ती करुणम् विभोः उपस्थितान्तिके तस्मै व्यसनम् समवोचताम् ब्रह्मा तदुपधार्यादः सह देवैस्तया सह जगामसत्र नयनम् स्थिरम् क्षीरपयोनिधेः तत्र गत्वा जगन्नादम् देवदेवम् वृषाकपिम् पुरुषम् पुरुषसूक्तेन उपदस्ते समाहिताः गिरम् समाधौ गगने समीरिदम् निशम्य वेदास्त्रदशानुवाचः गाम् पौरुषीम् मे शृणुतामरा पुनर्विधीयतामाशु तथैव माचिरम् पुरैव पुंसावधदोदराज्वरो ഭവൽഭിരം ശൈര്യുഷൂപജന്യതാം സായാവദുർവ്യാംഭരമീശ്വരേശ്വര സ്വകാലശക്ത്യാക്ഷവയം ശരേ ഭുവി. വസുദേവഗൃഹേ സാക്ഷാൽ ഭഗവാൻ പുരുഷപര ജനിഷ്യതേ തൽപ്രയാർത്ഥം സംഭവന്തു സുരസ്ത്രിയാഃ. വാസുദേവകലാനന്ദ സഹസ്രവദനസ്വരാൽ അഗ്രദോ ഭവിതാ ദേവോ ഹരേ പ്രിയ ചകീർഷയാം. വിഷ്ണോർമായാ ഭഗവതി യയാ സമ്മോഹിതം ജഗൽ ആദിഷ്ടാ പ്രഭുണാം ശേന കാര്യാർത്ഥേ സംഭവിഷ്യതി. ശ്രീശുക ഉവാചാം. ഇത്യാദിശ്യാമരഗണാൻ പ്രജാപതിപതിർവിഭോ ആശ്വാസജമഹീം ഗീർഭി സ്വധാമ പരമം യയോ. ശൂരസേനോപതുപതി യദുപതിർ മധുരാമാവസൻ പുരീം മധുരാൻ ശൂരസേനാംശ്ച വിഷയാൻ ഭുഭുജേ പുരാം. രാജധാനീ തദസ്താഭുൽ സർവയാദവ ഭൂഭുജം മധുരാ ഭഗവാൻ യത്ര നിത്യം സന്നിഹിതോ ഹരീം. തസ്യാം തു കർഹിച്ചൗരിർ വസുദേവകൃതോദ്വഹ ദേവക്യാ സൂര്യയാ സാർദ്ധം പ്രയാണരഥമാരുഹൽ. ഉഗ്രസേന സുതക്കം സ സ്വസൂപ്രിയചകീർഷയ രശ്മിൻഹയാനാം ജഗ്രാഹ രൗക്മൈരഥശതൈർവൃതാഃ. ചതുശ്ശതം പാരിബർഹം ഗജാനാം ഹേമമാലിനാം അശ്വാനാമൈദം സാർദ്ധം രഥാനാം ചതുഷൽശതം. ദാസീനാം സുകുമാരീനാം ദ്വേഷദേ സമലംകൃതേ ദുഹിത്രേ ദേവകപ്രാദാദ്യാനേ ദുഹിതൃവത്സലാം. ശംഖദൂര്യമൃദംഗാശ്ച നേതൃതുന്ദുവയസ്സമം പ്രയാണ പ്രക്രമേ താവധ്വരവധോ സുമംഗളം. പതിപ്രഗ്രഹിണം കംസമാഭാഷ്യാഃ ശരീരവാക് അസ്യാസ്ത്വാമഷ്ടമോ ഗർഭോ ഹന്തായാ വഹസേ ബുധാം. ഇത്യുക്ത സകല പാപോ ഭോജാനാം കുലപാംസന ഭഗിനീം ഹന്തുമാരബ്ധ ഖൽഗവാണി കുജേഗ്രഹീൽ. തം ജുഗുപ്സിത കർമാണം നൃശംസം നിരപത്രവം വസുദേവോ മഹാഭാഗ ഉവാച പരിസാംദ്വയൻ. ശ്രീ വസുദേവ ഉവാചാം. ശാഖനീയ ഗുണശൂരൈർ ഭവാൻ ഭോജയശസ്കര സകഥം ഭഗിനീം ഹന്യാൽ സ്ത്രിയ ഉദ്വാഹ പർവണീം. മൃത്യുർജന്മവതാം വീര ദേഹേന സഹജായതേ അദ്യവാബ്ദശതാന്തേവ മൃത്യുർവൈ പ്രാണിനാം ധ്രുവാം. ദേഹേ പഞ്ചത്വമാപന്നേ ദേഹീ കർമാനുഭോ വശ ദേഹാന്തരമനുപ്രാപ്യം പ്രാക്തനം ത്യജദേവവും. വ്രജം സ്തിഷ്ഠൻ പദേകേന യഥൈവേകേന ഗച്ഛതി യഥാ തൃണജലൂകൈവം ദേഹീ കർമ്മഗതിം ഗദാഃ. സ്വപ്നേ യഥാ പശ്യതി ദേഹമീദൃശം മനോരഥേനാഭിനിവിഷ്ടചേതന സുദൃഷ്ടശ്രുതാഭ്യാം മനസാനുചിന്തയൻ പ്രപദ്യതേതൽ കിമപി ഹ്യപസ്മൃതീഹി. യദോ യദോ ദാവതി ദൈവചോദിതം മനോവികാരാത്മകമാവ പഞ്ചസു ഗുണേഷു മായാരചിതേഷു ദേഹ്യസോ പ്രപദ്യമാന സഹതേന ജായതേ. ജ്യോതിർയദൈവോദകവാർത്തിവേഷ്വത സമീരവേഗാനുഗതം വിഭാവ്യതേ ഏവം സുമായാരചിതേഷ്വസൌ പുമാൻ ഗുണേഷു രാഗാനുഗതോ വിമുഹ്യതേ. തസ്മാൻ നഗസ്സ് ജിൽദ്രോഹം ആചരേൽ സ തഥാവിധ ആത്മനക്ഷേമമന്വിച്ഛൻ ദ്രോഗ്ദൂർവൈ പരദോഭയം. ഏഷാ തവാനുജാ ബാല കൃപണാ പുത്രികോപമ ഹന്തും നാർഹസി കല്യാണി ഇമാം ത്വം ദീനവത്സലാഃ. ശ്രീശുക ഉവാചാം. ഏവം സസാമഭിർഭേദേർ ബോധ്യമാനോപി ദാരുണ നന്യവർത്തത കൗരവ്യം പുരുഷാദാനനുവ്രതാ. നിർബന്ധം തസ്യതം ജ്ഞാത്വ വിചിന്ത്യാനകദുന്ധുവി പ്രാപ്തം കാലം പ്രതിവോടും ഇതം തത്രാന്യുപദ്യതാം. മൃത്യുർബുദ്ധിമതാപേഹ്യോ അദാപോഹ്യോ യാവത് ബുദ്ധിബലോദയം യദ്യസൗന നിവർത്തേത നാപരാധോസ്ഥിദേഹിനാം. പ്രദായ മൃത്യുവേ പുത്രാൻ മോചയേ കൃപണാമിമാം സുധാമേയ നിജായേരൻ മൃത്യുർവാന്ന് മ്രിയേതചേൽ. വിഭജയോ വാക്യം നസ്യാൽ ഗതിർധാതുർദുരത്യ ഉപസ്ഥിതോ നിവർത്തേത നിവൃത്ത് പുനരാപതേൽ. അഗ്നിർയഥാദാരുവിയോഗയോഗയോർ അദൃഷ്ടതോന്യന്ന നിമിത്തമസ്തി ഏവം ഹി ജന്തോരപിതുർവിഭാവ്യം ശരീര സംയോഗ വിയോഗഹേതു. ഏവം വിമൃശ്യതം പാപം യാവദാത്മനിദർശനം പൂജയാമാസ വൈ ശൗര്യർ ബഹുമാന പുരസ്സരം. പ്രസന്നവദനാം ഭോജം നൃശംസം നിരപത്രമം മനസാദൂയമാനേന വിഹസന്നിതമബ്രവീൽ. ശ്രീ വസുദേവ ഉവാച, നഹ്യസ്യാസ്തി ഭയം സൗമ്യ യദ്വാഗാഹ ശരീരിണി പുത്രാൻ സമർപ്പയിഷ്യസ്യ യദസ്തേ ഭയമുത്ഥിതം. ശ്രീ ശുക ഉവാച, സുസുർവധാനിവവൃതേ കംസസ്ത്വദ്വാക്യസാരവിൽ വസുദേവോപിതം പ്രീത പ്രശസ്യ പ്രാവിശൽ ഗൃഹം. അധകാലമുപാവൃത്തേ ദേവകീ സർവദേവത പുത്രാൻ പ്രസുഷുവേ ചാഷ്ടൗ കന്യാം ചൈവാനുവത്സരം. കീർത്തിമന്ദം പ്രഥമജം കംസായാനകദുന്ദുഭി അർപ്പയാമാസ കൃച്ഛ്രേണ സോന്നൃതാദതിവിഹ്വലാം. കിം ദുസ്സഹം നു സാധൂനാം വിദുഷാം കിമപേക്ഷിതം കിമകാര്യം കഥര്യാണാം ദുസ്ത്യജം കിം ധൃതാത്മനാം. ദൃഷ്ട്വാ സമത്വം തച്ഛൗരേ സത്യേ ചൈവ വ്യവസ്ഥിതിം കംസസ്തുഷ്ടമനാരാജൻ പ്രഹസന്നിതമബ്രവീൽ. പ്രതിയാതു കുമാരോയം അഹ്യസ്മാദസ്തി മേ ഭയം അഷ്ടമാദ്യവയോ ഗർഭാൻ മൃത്യുർമേ വിഹിത കിലാഹ. തഥേതി സുതമാദായ യയാവാനകദുന്ധുവി നാഭ്യമുന്നത തദ്വാക്യം അസതോ വിചിതാത്മനാം. നാദാദ്യായേ വ്രജേ ഗോപായാശ്ചാമീഷാം ജയോഷിതാം വൃഷ്ണയോ വസുദേവാദ്യ ദേവക്യാദ്യായതു സ്ത്രിയാഹ. സർവേ വൈ ദേവതാപ്രായം ഉഭയോരഭിഭാരത ജ്ഞാതയോ ബന്ധുസഹൃതോ യേ ച കംസമനുവ്രതാഹ. ഏതൽക്കംസായ ഭഗവാൻ ശംസാഭ്യേത്യ നാരദ ഭൂമേർഭാരായമാനാനം ദൈത്യാനാം ച വദോദ്ധ്യമം. കൃഷേർവിനിർഗമേ കംസോ യദൂന്മത്വാ സുരാനിതി ദേവക്യാ ഗർഭസംഭൂതം വിഷ്ണും ച സ്വപഥം പ്രതി. ദേവകീം വസുദേവം ച നിഗൃഹ്യ നികടേർഗൃഹേ ജാതം ജാതമഹൻ പുത്രം തയോ അജനശങ്കയാം. മാതരം പിതരം ഭ്രാതൻ സർവാംശ സുഹൃതസ്തഥ അത്മന്ദീക്ഷസുബോലുബ്ധ രാജാന പ്രായശോ ഭുവീം. ആത്മാനമിഹ സഞ്ജാതം ജാനൻ പ്രാഗ്വിഷ്ണുനാഹതം മഹാസുരം കാലനേമിം യദുഭി സവ്യരുധ്യത. ഉഗ്രസേനം ച പിതരം യദുഭോജാന്ധകാദിവം സ്വയം നിഗൃഹ്യ ഭുജേ ശൂരസേനാൻ മഹാബലാഹ. ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പാരമഹംസ്യം സംഹിതായാം ദശമസ്കന്ദേ പൂർവാർദ്ധേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണാവതാരോപക്രമേ പ്രഥമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. സോ ദിസ് ഈസ് ദി ഫസ്റ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ ഓഫ് ദി ടെൻത് കാന്റോ. And as I mentioned before, the 10th canto begins with this questions from Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit is asking certain very important questions to Sudev Goswami. In the very, very first verse itself, you can see perhaps Parikshit's anxiety there. That is why he is saying, Kadido vamsha vistaro bhavada soma suryayo. That out of that shock what he got from the end of 9th canto, Parikshit Maharaj has not recovered yet. That is what you'll see in that first verse. Kadido vamsha vistaro bhavada soma suryayo. That soma suryam, soma vamsham, surya vamsham. My dear Sukadeva Goswami, addressing his own spiritual master, he is saying to him that Shri Rajavaja, Parikshit Maharaj is saying that you have discussed, actually Parikshit Maharaj was listening to this description of these two dynasties, solar dynasty and lunar dynasty here. But when he heard this, first he discussed the solar dynasty and then he discussed the lunar dynasty. But you will notice here one change Parikshit has made there. Instead of saying Surya Somayo, he has meant Soma Suryayo there. Kadido vamsha vistaro bhavada Soma Suryayo. That Soma Suryayo, he has given more importance to that Soma Vamsham or lunar dynasty. Reason being that it is in this lunar dynasty that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared, and that is what makes it much more significant. And Parikshit knew this, that Soma Vamsham is that what is going to come out now in detail, because Krishna has appeared in this Soma Vamsham, and that is why Soma Vamsham has given priority of Surya Vamsham in that particular verse. കഥിതോ വംശ വിസ്താരോ ഭവത സോമസൂര്യയോ. സോമവംശം ആൻഡ് സൂര്യവംശം, ആൻഡ് പ്ലീസ് എക്സ്പ്ലെയിൻ ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ ഡീറ്റെയിൽ. യു ഹാവ് വാട്ട് യു ഹാവ് എക്സ്പ്ലെയിൻഡ് ഇസ് നോട്ട് ഇനഫ് ഫോർ മീ, ബിക്കോസ് రాజ్ఞీ చోభయవంశానాం చరితం పరమద్భుతం. These two dynasties, what you have explained so far, Parishit says to Sri Shugan, is full of wonders. Wonderful personalities have come in that process. There are so many wonders in the ninth canto, you have noticed. Different kings, Solar dynasty and Lunar dynasty both, different personalities who have come, and they were all so powerful personalities, as mentioned before. They all had such a strong control, a strong nature in them to engage in material nature. But at the end of the life, they all did the proper way of leaving this material world and going back to the spiritual world. So all these personalities were very, very important. None of them was excluded, because Parikshit Maharaj saw there that they had such a powerful personality. All of them have succeeded in achieving the goal of life, namely going back to the spiritual world. So, unlike today, you can see from the difference there itself, a series of kings and emperors who ruled the planet with full authority, and in the end, they prepare themselves to leave this world and go back to the spiritual world. That is the caliber of those personalities who came in the Surya Vamsham, as well as Solar dynasty, as well as the Lunar dynasty. But that is, we can forget it now. That is not going to happen in any of the new dynasties. Those dynasties are finished and they are gone. But what Parikshit Maharaj is saying is, Rajni Chobhayavamshanam Charidam Paramal Bhudam. He says it's full of wonders, their activities. Rantideva, what a wonderful personality he was, that he was willing to sacrifice so many things for his spiritual advancement. And in that process, he had to go through very severe tests. More than anything else, what actually amazed Parikshit Maharaj was that a personality called Pururavas. Pururavas has managed to marry this beautiful Apsaras woman from the heavenly planets, namely Urvashi. And that is what has actually made Parikshit, because normal situations for an ordinary human being in this world will never get an opportunity to marry a beautiful personality like Urvashi from the heavenly planet. So seeing Pururava's activities of marrying Urvashi and staying with her for so many years in this world, Parikshit Maharaj was absolutely in wonder seeing the activities of King Pururava's, how powerful he should have been and how capable he was in marrying this Urvashi from the heavenly planets. So all these things are there in Parikshit's mind in the first verse itself, when he spoke this to Sukadeva Goswami. So that is where he was amazed by this whole background of the ninth canto. So then Parikshit Maharaj, from there, he wanted to know. He was absolutely he was disappointed that did Sukadeva Goswami think that I am not qualified to hear about Krishna. These thoughts came to his mind. Because now that Sukadeva Goswami has spoke very minimum about the Krishna's pastimes and concluded everything in the ninth canto, Parikshit Maharaj was again confused that why Sukadeva Goswami has done this. So next verse itself, Yadoscha Dharma Shilasya Nitaram Munisattamaha, that Yadu Maharaj is the personality in whose dynasty Krishna has appeared. So he wanted to hear about Yadu Maharaj dynasty. Why Yadu Maharaj dynasty? Because normally sages, when you have to classify them, they are classified according to their position, in the sense that munis are normally people who have taken the spiritual life very, very seriously, who go to the forest, execute spiritual life seriously. And among them, when they become extraordinarily good or who become extremely serious, they are called Munisattama. Munisattama means the topmost munis, topmost sages. So, Yadoscha Dharma Shilasya Nidaram Munisattamaha. That Yadu Maharaj, who comes in this lunar dynasty, who is our ancestor, that Yadu Maharaj has already given you the indication what kind of person he was. Not a personality who was interested when he was even offered even the kingdom by Yayadi, his father. Yadu Maharaj straight away refused that. He did not want to accept it in exchange of his youth. Why? Because Yadu Maharaj knew that he has got a human form of body which was meant for advancing in spiritual life. So he did not want to waste his life. So he told his father Yayadi that I cannot accept your offer. And the result was that Yayadi cursed him that he will never become an emperor. He will have to stay as a king only. So because of all these things, Yayadi never became an emperor. Yadu never became an emperor. On the other hand, he became the king, but in due course, under Puru. Puru was another son from the Sharmishta. And Puru became the emperor who agreed to exchange the youth with the old age and to his father Yayadi. So that is what we saw in the ninth canto. So here, Parikshit Maharaj said to Sukadeva Goswami, Yadoscha dharma shilasya nitaram unisattamaha. That Dharmashilam, the Yadu Maharaj standard of spiritual life, where can else can I find? Where else is there a personality like Yadu who was born in this lunar dynasty and by whose name they were called later on as the name Yadavas? Yadavas came from this word Yadu. So please think about that. And all these 4 or 5 days I have been sitting here to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And that is the only thing I had in my mind. And why did you stop this in such a few verses? This was the mind of Sukadeva Goswami when he was speaking about it. So to make the things a little bit more clearer to Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj started explaining things in a different way. The way he proceeded was that if you think, he said to Sukadeva Goswami, if you think that I am not qualified to hear about Krishna, look at me, look at my situation. He said, who am I? Who is this Parikshit? Parikshit says to him that when he goes back to his parentage, Arjuna married Subhadra Devi, and from that marriage Abhimanyu was born. Abhimanyu married Uttara Devi, and from that marriage Parikshit Maharaj was born. Abhimanyu got killed in the battle. They killed Abhimanyu. The Kauravas killed Abhimanyu, and Uttara became a widow. Uttara Devi became a widow. So Uttara Devi's son Parikshit Maharaj, he was in the womb of Mother Uttara Devi when, on the last day after the war, Ashwathama decided to completely eliminate the race of Pandavas from this earth. So Dronacharya's son Ashwathama fired the Brahmastra weapon to kill Parikshit Maharaj, who was the seed of the continuation, because all the other children of Draupadi were killed by him. And he wanted to once for all finish this Pandavas from this earth. So he sent Brahmastra to kill Parikshit Maharaj from the womb of Uttara Devi. So the Brahmastra went and actually burned Parikshit inside the womb. Parikshit Maharaj was remembering all these things, what happened for him inside the womb. Krishna has given him that memory, what happened there. So Parikshit started putting forward all what has happened inside the womb to Sukadeva Goswami. He told him that when my mother Uttara Devi was killed, Uttara Devi, to whom Brahmastra was fired to kill me. Ashwathama had no intention to kill Uttara Devi. Ashwathama's intention was to kill Parikshit Maharaj, because he knew Uttara Devi was pregnant from Abhimanyu. And if we kill Uttara Devi, this seed of Parikshit inside, then the Pandava race is over. So he fired this Brahmastram to Parikshit, and Parikshit has already got burned inside. And he was more or less dead. He was dead actually. But when he died, it was then that Krishna was boarding the chariot to go back to Dwaraka. After spending a lot of time with the Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas, Krishna was just boarding the chariot to go back to Dwaraka. It was then, you will see these things in the first canto. It's also there in the Mahabharata. So there, Uttara Devi came to Krishna and spoke these most elegant prayers in the Bhagavatam. Pahi pahi mahayogin devadeva jagalpade nanyam tu adhavayam pashel yatra mrutyu parasparam. If you see the first canto, you will see there. Pahi pahi mahayogin Krishna is addressed by Uttara Devi as Mahayogin, greatest among all the yogis. That is Krishna's position. Some places they address him as Mahayogin. Some places they have addressed him as Yogeshwara. Arjuna used to call him as Yogeshwara. The Bhagavad Gita, in some places you will find. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in other places, he is addressed by Uttama, the Yogeshwareshwara. Among the greatest of all the yogis is Krishna. So, Parishad Maharaj asked this question to Sukadeva Goswami, that Uttara Devi did not ask for help from Arjuna, who is supposed to be one of the most powerful heroes in this world as a Kshatriya. He did not ask for any help from Bhima, who is very powerful and also very expert in fighting with the club. He did not go to him. He did not go to any of the other Pandava brothers who were there, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadeva, Yudhishthira Maharaj, no one. Rather, she came to you, to Krishna. Pahi pahi mahayogin, deva deva jagalpadem. The words Uttaradevi has used about Krishna, deva deva jagalpadem, that jagalpadem, the Lord of the universe, addressing Krishna, and God of gods, or the Lord of the lords, Lord of all the gods, is deva deva jagalpade nanyam tvadhamayam pashel yatramrityu parasparam. That she told Krishna that if you do not protect me, I am finished here. Because there is a reason for Uttaradevi to say this to Krishna. When Abhimanyu got killed in the battle, and on that evening when Abhimanyu's body was lit on the fire and on the funeral pyre, when his body was burning, Uttaradevi wanted to give up her life as well. As a Kshatriya woman, she never wanted to survive, wanted to go back with her husband. So she wanted to jump into the fire and kill herself. It is Krishna who stopped her from doing that. Krishna pulled her back and told her, for my sake, you should stay in this world. It was Krishna's desire that Uttaradevi should stay back in this world so that the Pandava race can continue further. So it was from Krishna's request that Uttaradevi has stayed back. And now the whole purpose of Uttara staying back was that her son, who was Parikshit, can live, will be born. Uttaradevi was pregnant at that time. And when Parikshit was born, he can continue the Pandava dynasty further. That was Krishna's plan. But when this thing happened, Uttaradevi was stopped by Krishna, and Uttaradevi accepted Krishna's request to stay back. So now what has happened is that with this Ashwathama's Brahmastra, the baby in the womb, Parikshit Maharaj, is killed. So Uttaradevi asked Krishna, what are you going to do about this? What do I do now? Because you asked me to stay back, and he is burning inside. She is already burned inside. And that is why these two verses you can say here in this 10th canto beginning itself. He says here, Dhraunyastra viplushtamidam madangam sandana bijam kuru pandavanam jugobakukshim gadamata chakro madushchameya sharanam gadaya. That when I was inside the womb of Uttaradevi, my mother, that sandana bijam kuru pandavanam, that the whole race, this is the only bijam, only seed that is left behind to protect me. You have come here and you have been running around me and protecting me from the Brahmastram weapon which was fired by Ashwathama. Jugoba kukshim gadam artha chakro madushchameya sharanam gadayaha. That if you have not done that, where will I be today? So, who I had this relationship with Krishna in this way. Krishna has come and protected me when I was in the womb of Mother Uttaradevi. And Krishna has protected me, and I have a relationship like that with Krishna. One. Number two, leaving aside everything, I have a family relationship also with Krishna through Arjuna, Subhadra Devi. Subhadra Devi is Krishna's sister, and Subhadra Devi is my grandmother, and I have a material relationship with Krishna as well. Number two, apart from all these things, that I am sitting here in this body as you see me today. He said to Sudeva Goswami, you have to remember at this time that almost 4.5 days have gone. Parikshit has not eaten. Parikshit Maharaj has not eaten or drunk anything. He is sitting there with all these things in his mind. And he started addressing Sudeva Goswami and spoke in this way, that I have given up my everything in my life and death is approaching very fast for me. And if you do not talk to me, I only was here, wanted to hear about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why do you resist from not doing that? This was the question he raised.
Pidamahame samare maranjayer devavrata dhyadiradai stivingilai durathayam kaurava sainya sagaram krutvadaran valsapadam smayaplavaham.
In the words before this, he said that in this great battle with the Kauravas and the Pandavas, the Kauravas had such a powerful army. And so how powerful?
Pidamahame samare maranjayer devavrata adhyadiradhai stimingalehi.
In a big ocean, how just there are so many powerful aquatics like stimingalam, whales and all that. Similarly, these personalities like Drona, Bhishma, Karna and so many others, powerful warriors whom you can never think of beating them in a battle any time because they are so powerful. And how did my parents and my ancestors, the Pandavas, how did they kill them and win the war so easily, just like you crossing over, just like crossing over a footprint of a calf? Because normally footprint of a calf is a small amount of water anyone can cross over. With such easiness, Pandavas managed to beat them in the battle, kill them all these powerful personalities and win the war. How did that happen?
Pidamahame samare maranjair devavradadhyadiradhai stivingalaihi duratyayam kaurava sainya sagaram krutvadaran valsavadam smayalplavaham.
That this question came up from Parikshit. Parikshit was pushing Sukadeva Goswami to come out with more and more details on Krishna's activities about Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna.
Nivarta darshay rubagiyamanal bhavaushadi chotra mano abhiramal yaduttama shloka guna anuvadal puman virajeda vina pashudnal.
The verse before that, Parikshit wanted to remind Sukadeva Goswami a few things. That he wanted Sukadeva Goswami to understand that I am qualified to hear about Krishna. There is a reason for all these things. It's not that Parikshit was just whimsically saying something. You have to remember, Parikshit Maharaj is a very serious personality. He is the emperor of the planet. So you can see what his consciousness could be. And he is leaving his body. And while leaving the body on the banks of this river Ganga, there were such powerful, great sages and personalities were present there to hear what was going on between Sudeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj.
Nivrta darshay ubagiyamanal bhavaushadi chotra mano abhiramal yad uttama shloka guna anuvadal puman virajeda vina pashudnal.
Parikshit said to Sudeva Goswami, who would not like to hear about Krishna? Generally in this world, there are three classes of people. This is the normal classification of the human society. The one type of people who are just interested in gratifying their senses. They are known as Vishayis. Vishayis means one who is always absorbed in gratifying senses. They are called Vishayis, sense gratifiers, in other words. So this is one group. A second group is those who have already come to understand that this material life is nothing but eventually distress. That's what it brings. And then come to some realizations about it and decide to get out of this material way of life and go back to the spiritual world. They are called mumukshus. Mumukshus means one who have a desire for liberation. So they are called mumukshus. The first one is called Vishayis or sense gratifiers, and the second one is called the mumukshus or the persons who are desiring to go back to the spiritual world. And there is a third group of people who are very, very minimum, very little. They are those who are already liberated within this material body. They are known as Jivan Muktas. So there are three different categories of people in this world. Now all these three different categories of people, they have all have a desire. All, in other words, they all have the qualification, adhigari bhedam. That is how in the Shastra says that everything in spiritual life is based on qualification, not whimsically given to everybody everything. No, it's based on the qualification, depending on one's own position in spiritual life. So this Parikshit Maharaj wanted to say this to Sukadeva Goswami, that all these three kinds of people, without any consideration for, or there is no pre-qualification for them to hear about Krishna. That is how this process of the Krishna consciousness or Krishna's activities are in this world. Anyone, one who is engaged in sense gratification, one who is desiring for liberation, and one who is already liberated, all three of them enjoy pastimes of Krishna. That is what Parikshit wanted to remind Sukadeva Goswami at this point. So when he reminded this to Sukadeva Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami was, or Sri Shogan was actually trying to find out how serious Parikshit is to hear about Krishna. He wanted to know that. Actually, Parikshit Maharaj's position is such that to hear about Krishna and to leave this body in that condition, that was his only desire. He had no other desire. Other sages were suggesting so many different things to him. But he said to them that I have no interest in any of these things. I just want to leave my body. Ashatvalam gayada Vishnu gadam. Simply hearing about Krishna, let me leave my body in this world and go back. This was his desire. And Sukadeva Goswami wanted to confirm that when Parikshit, and forced Parikshit to come out with all these different kinds of questions. And that is how the beginning of this chapter, or the first chapter of the 10th canto, why Parikshit Maharaj has put forward so many questions to make Sukadeva Goswami realize that he is a genuine candidate to hear about Krishna. Because to hear about Krishna, normally it mentions that unless one has a certain degree of purity within the heart, or the purification of one's own heart, one will not understand this 10th canto. The 10th canto, one's desire builds up to hear more about Krishna only when one has that certain degree of purity inside. And for particularly, it is difficult for the Vishayis, or those who are addicted to sense gratification. But for those who are desiring for liberation, or who are certain, they and the Jivan Muktas, or the liberated souls, are those who enjoy these activities of Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Parikshit Maharaj spoke this to Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami understood and appreciated the questions from Parikshit Maharaj. And there is an exchange there between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj in the next few verses. That Parikshit Maharaj, before he finished these questions with Sukadeva Goswami, he wanted to ask a few questions to Sukadeva Goswami, just to make Sukadeva Goswami aware that how focused he is while listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is why in the next few verses you will find there these questions coming from Parikshit in such a way. Rohinya stanya prokta rama sangarshana stoya devakya garbha sambandham kuto dehandaram minam kasmal mukundo bhagavan pidurgehal vrajam gada kovasam yadivi sardham kadavan satvadambadi vraje vasan kimakarvan madhubiryam jakeshava bradaram chavadil kamsam madhuradhadadarhanam deham manushamashritya kadivarshani vrishnibi yadubiryam sahavalsil Patnya, Patya Bhavan Prabhom. Parikshit Maharaj's questions were, his questions were that why after taking birth in Madhura, after appearing in Madhura, Krishna has gone to Gokul. Why did he do that? He went to a place called, today it is called sometimes Gokulam, sometimes it's also called Mahavanam. But in the Bhagavatam, the name used is Brihadvanam. So why did Krishna go from there to Brihadvanam, from the prison in the Kamsa's prison? Why did he do that? Then second question he asked, From Brihadvanam, why did he go to Vrindavanam? What was the reason for going to Vrindavanam? And what kind of activities did he perform in Vrindavanam? Then the question came up, from Vrindavanam, why did he return back to Mathura again? Why did he come back? And why did he kill his uncle Kamsa? After that, he asked him, why did he go to Dwaraka? And I also heard that Krishna has married thousands and thousands of wives. Krishna had many, many wives. And how Krishna performed such a wonderful grihastha ashramam with so many wives. All these questions Parikshit Maharaj raised to Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami was very carefully listening to Parikshit's questions to evaluate and to judge how serious he is and how carefully he is listening to it. But more than anything else, to the surprise of Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit asked another question which actually made Sukadeva Goswami to think twice, not to minimize the story of Krishna. Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's appearance, everything. This one question made Parikshit Maharaj, made Sukadeva Goswami to take it very, very seriously. What was that question? In the last canto, in the ninth canto, in the last chapter, where it was mentioned that Balaram was born from the womb of Devaki. And then it was also mentioned that he was born from Rohini later. So when these two things happened, Parikshit Maharaj asked this question, how can one person have two mothers? How is that possible? So from this question, Sukadeva Goswami understood that how carefully he is listening to the story. Because you have to remember, 4 days he has not eaten anything. You can imagine how we will be after 4 days. You have to just compare yourself. If we don't get our prasadam at 7 o'clock, you won't see anybody here next day morning for Mangalarati. This is how strong we are. And here is Parikshit Maharaj sitting there and saying that four and a half days, not slept, not drunk, not eaten anything. And this Parikshit Maharaj is asking Sukadeva Goswami, how could this happen? That would we be thinking whether Balaram was born and how he was born if we were to be fasting for 4 days? But that you can just come think in your own mind how you feel about that. So this is the personality Parikshit. From this, what do we understand? That while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the kind of mind you require. To be so focused in Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's life, and everything relationship with Krishna, one's mind has to be so well tuned into it. And when one is not tuned into it, there is an interesting story about that. In the Bhagavatam, there is a personality called Muchukunda. It will come later in the 10th canto. This Muchukunda was a king, and he went to heavenly planet. He had to fight a war there. He was helping the demigods to fight against the demons. So after the war was over, somebody told Muchukunda that what do you want the benediction from us? They asked Muchukunda. The demigods wanted to give some benediction to Muchukunda. Muchukunda said to them that I don't want to die. I want to live forever as a king. Demigod said, we don't have that ability to give you that benediction. That's not in our hands. Okay, you can't give anything then. At least give me one thing, he said. That I've been fighting this war for so many years now. I'm fully exhausted. I want to go to the earth and sleep somewhere peacefully, he said. At least give me that benediction, he said, so nobody will disturb me. So he got that benediction, came here to the earthly planet, and he went into a cave and he was sleeping there. He went fast asleep. He was sleeping for a long period of time. Obviously, those days, lifespan was much longer. People had a lot of time to sleep also. Unlike us, we are short of sleep also sometimes. 6 hours, 8 hours, we are something like that. But Muchukunda had a long sleep. But the Krishna's plan behind it was much different. Krishna wanted to kill a demon called Kalayavana. And Kalayavana was brought into this cave. Krishna was fighting with Kalayavana for a long time. And eventually, Krishna didn't want to kill him. Krishna wanted to get him killed by Muchukunda. So what Krishna did was, Krishna ran from the battlefield. Kalyavana followed him, thinking that, and Kalyavana started saying that, "You are a coward running away from the battlefield." Krishna ran and Kalyavana followed him. And he ran so fast that eventually Krishna went into this cave where Muchukunda was sleeping. So Muchukunda was sleeping and Krishna went through. When Krishna went through, Kalyavana followed him, thinking that Krishna is inside. When he went inside, he did not see Muchukunda. By mistake, he hit Muchukunda and Muchukunda woke up from his sleep. But Muchukunda got a benediction from the demigods that if anyone wakes you up, as soon as you open your eyes, they will become ashes there itself. So Krishna knew this. So Krishna arranged everything in such a way that from Muchukunda's netragni, that means the fire of his eyes, all the yogis have this power. They just have to look at you. You will become ashes. You will see in the Bhagavatam before also, Kapila Vasudev did the same thing. When the Amshuman and Sagara Maharshi, Sagara, King Sagara's followers, they went looking for the horse in the third canto, you can see that, that Kapila, he in Kapilashrama, where he was there, they went and woke him up from his samadhi state. He opened his eyes and they burned, got burned into ashes. So same thing happened here also with Muchukunda. Kalyavana got burned into ashes and he woke up and he saw Krishna standing there. So Muchukunda asked him, "Who are you?" He said, Krishna said, "People call me Vasudeva," he said. "That's what they call me now, but I had so many births and so many times have appeared in this world. Kalatrayobhavannani janma karmani mendrabam." "My dear king, I don't know what actually my name is because I had so many appearances. Kalatrayobhavannani janma karmani mendrabam. That my activities and my birth is very difficult to know. In fact, I myself do not know how many times I have appeared in this world before." This was the answer from Krishna. Muchukunda understood that this is the Supreme Personality. So he paid his obeisances. And and he said to him but at this appearance now, how many times have you done before? He said, "That's what I'm saying, sir. I do not know. In fact, you can ask the greatest of all the sages." Who is the greatest of all the sages? Narayana Maharshi. Where does Narayana Maharshi live? Narayana Maharshi lives in Badrikashram. Who is Narayana Maharshi? Narayana Maharshi is Krishna. So you can ask Narayana Maharshi and he will tell you how many times I have come. Whatever it is, today I am appeared as Vasudeva Maharaj's son and they are calling me as Vasudev. That is how he answered. "I am called as Vasudev," he said. Okay, that is nice. So at this time, when Muchukunda woke up from the sleep, he did not know how many, so since I slept, how many incarnations have happened, he asked. Because prior to that, you have said so many things. So since I slept, how many have happened? Just like, you can only understand this if you follow this fun behind it. Sometimes people come and sit in the Bhagavatam class. And then they sleep very nicely. They will fall into sleep after about 5 or 10 minutes. As soon as Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam gone off. Then after about 45 minutes, just our Bhagavatam classes are not very long. It lasts not more than an hour normally. So about half an hour, 45 minutes, they had a good sleep. And when they wake up, they look around all sides, whether anybody has seen me sleeping. That is their own guilty consciousness inside. He's feeling and looking around. Then he's asking, "Where are we now? Which canto are we reading?" Or which? If you see that, imagine that situation. It is something like that here. That's what has happened to Muchukunda also. Muchukunda slept off and he's saying, "How many incarnations have happened since I slept?" he said. So just like in the Bhagavatam class, the same thing. It's not much different. This is how we listen to Bhagavatam. And you can see the difference. Why? Parishita has gone back and we are still here now. So this is where it is all coming from. That kalatrayobhavannani janma karmani me nrabam anukramandam gachayo. So normally this is our situation. So when these questions came back from Parikshit like this, Sudeva Goswami was very, very keen to speak about Srimad Bhagavatam to his satisfaction. That generally it is like that. if the audience or the listeners are enthusing, listeners are inquisitive, not sleepy, or fully interested in listening, and then if you have a speaker like Sukadeva Goswami, he gets interested in speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to their satisfaction. They, by virtue of their capacity, because their absorption in Krishna is so deep, that when they start speaking about it, about Krishna, words just starts flowing from their mouth. This is Sudeva Goswami's position. So you can imagine Sudeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, the best speaker and the best listener, they are discussing now. So after noticing these questions and this background of the whole scene, and eventually before he finished, Parikshit Maharaj told this one thing to him. What is that? Pibandam tvanmukhambo jachudam harikathamrudam. Harikathamrudam. This is what I want, he said. And that is something very, very, very special. Why? Normally, amrudam means nectar, isn't it? Amrudam is nectar. And this nectar is distributed in the heavenly planet by the demigods. We can't even get a drop of it. And it is distributed in the heavenly planets. And in the heavenly planets, those who drink this nectar, they normally say that they have such a very long life, free from all diseases. That is why demigods have such a better... They don't need NHS like us. They are free from NHS. They maintain such a health there because of this drinking this nectar. But drinking nectar can only give you something, probably immortality. Immortality you may achieve by not by drinking nectar. But here, Parikshit is saying, Pibandam tvanmukhambo jachudam harikatha amradam. Harikatha amradam. That nectar of harikatha, which is a nectar, that nectar is different. Because this nectar in the heavenly planet may give a long life, but doesn't give you any guarantee about liberation. No, it is never guaranteed. But this nectar can do that. Harikatha, that nectar, Krishna's story, can do that. That is why Parikshit wanted to say this specifically to Sudeva Goswami, that this nectar is different from the nectar in the heavenly planet. I understand it like this. Pibandam tunmukhambo jachudam harikathamradam. But not only that, this nectar, when it is coming from the mouth of Sukadeva Goswami, it becomes much more sweetened. Just like you add honey and sweet mango, how nice it would be, the taste of that. Something similar to that, that already something which is very sweet. If you add on to that something nicer, like the honey, like the nice first-class mango, how sweet it becomes and how tasty it becomes. Exactly like that. When it comes through the mouth of Sukadeva Goswami, it becomes like that. That is why it is said, Parikshit says to him, that this Srimad Bhagavatam, which I have been hearing for the last 4.5 days from you, Pibandam tvanmukhambo jachudam harikathamradam. When it is flowing from your mouth, it becomes much more relishable, and I am enjoying that. So please, thinking about Subhadra Devi, my grandmother, thinking about Uttara Devi, my mother, thinking about my grandfather, Arjuna, please do not minimize the pastimes of Krishna. Please speak to me everything in detail. Thinking about Kunti Devi, thinking about all the Pandavas and all those personalities who are behind me, remembering all of them, please do not summarize, please do not reduce the activities of Krishna. Because if I do not, I belong to that family, and I have heard, I have been protected by Krishna right from the womb in the Uttara Devi's mother. And if having got such a blessings from that Supreme Personality Krishna, if I do not hear about Krishna at the time of leaving this body, am I not the most ungrateful person? This is what Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami. Am I not the most ungrateful person, having been protected by Krishna in the womb, having been protected by Uttara Devi with the help of Krishna in the womb before I appeared in this world, and all through my life, who else has provided me, and by my material relationship with Uttara Devi and to Krishna, all these things, keeping all these things in the background, Parikshit Maharaj convinced Sukadeva Goswami that he is qualified to hear about Krishna till the rest of the time, till he leaves this world. And that was Parikshit Maharaj's wonderful questions in this first chapter. Just like, there is so many things here. When you remember here, that Pibandam Tonmukhambo Jachudam Harikatha Amradam. Beautiful line. Why? Because in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi mentions about Sukadeva Goswami one thing. I don't know if you have read these verses, you will find there. Nigamagalpadaror Galidam Phalam Shukamukhada Mrudadrava Samyudam Pibada Bhagavadam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasiga Bhuvi Bhavugaham. Vedavyasa is saying there that this ripened fruit of the Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nigamagalpadaror Galidam Phalam. But how? Shukamukhadamrudadrava samyudam. When it is coming from the mouth of, from the sweet words of Sukadeva Goswami, Pibada Bhagavadam Rasamalayam. This Srimad Bhagavadam is full of nectar, of mellows. All the mellows are there in the Srimad Bhagavadam. Not only the mellow of devotion, Bhakti Rasam, not only Bhakti Rasam. Jnanam is there, Karmam is there, everything is there in the Srimad Bhagavadam. Pibada Bhagavadam Rasamalayam. That Rasamalayam, the house of rasas, of mellows, please drink this. Vedavyasa is saying in the beginning, Pivada Bhagavadam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavugaham. That come and drink this nectar. Vedavyasa is inviting everybody to hear Sudeva Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavadam. So earlier in the beginning of Bhagavadam itself, Vedavyasa said this about Sudeva Goswami's special capacity to deliver Srimad Bhagavatam, unlike anyone else. So keeping that in mind, that was spoken before, Parishit is now saying, Pibandam Tanmugambo Jachudam Harikathamradam. Let me hear these beautiful activities of Krishna from your mouth. That makes it very special, he said. Example, everybody likes sweet rice. I don't know, there's many people who don't like sweet rice. He must be a very special person who doesn't like sweet rice. Now the sweet rice, when it's prepared nicely, everyone likes to have a hot glass straight away. But suppose if it's brought, offered to Krishna and brought it out from the temple room, from the deity room, and if you have a golden glass and one full glass of sweet rice is given to you straight away after offering, and because of the offering, its taste is also increased a lot, more than what it is, and it is nicely prepared. Without giving to everybody, if you get a glass to drink, how nice it would be. That is the speciality there, that you get a glass of sweet rice in a golden glass, very nicely prepared sweet rice, very well done. If you get that sweet rice, how you can enjoy that, something similar to that. That is what it is here, that he is saying here. That is that special taste of Srimad Bhagavatam, how it has increased by bringing it through Sukadeva Goswami, what he was giving this information. Parishit was saying to him that this is all I want to hear from now on, that is after 4.5 days, right up to the end of the 7 days. I don't want to hear anything else, he said to Sudeva Goswami. So you can see, for all these verses in the beginning, there was only one goal of Sudeva Goswami he had to inspire Sudeva Goswami to speak like this. So Sudeva Goswami, when he heard all these things from Parikshit, he got himself ready to speak from now on. He also got excited. Because talking about Krishna is like that. When Parikshit Maharaj was showing that seriousness to hear about Krishna, that desire to hear about Krishna before leaving this world, when Sudeva Goswami sensed that, he also became himself organized. Actually, when you talk about all these things, so many memories also come about that. That it's not very unusual, these things. These things do happen. Often it has happened in the past also. It is the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nobody can deny that. That there was many years ago, not a long time, about 50 years ago, there were some people who had a group of people, not one, many, many people. They were all great devotees of Srimad Bhagavatam. They relished to Bhagavatam so much that in their association, and they were all very learned and very scholarly as well. very scholarly Brahmanas, very learned and very scholarly Brahmanas. But today the situation has changed. This was not long ago, about 40, 50 years back, probably 50 years ago this has happened, these things have happened. So among them, there was one person who was known for his understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam and the depth of understanding, that anyone would like to hear him speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So he he enjoyed, for many years in his life, he traveled and spoke Srimad Bhagavatam in the assembly of many, many great people. And he enthused many people to study Srimad Bhagavatam and to take Bhagavatam very seriously. That was his main main motto of traveling and preaching Krishna consciousness. And his goal of life was to present Srimad Bhagavatam and to inspire people to study Srimad Bhagavatam. So every time he traveled and came back to the temple, other devotees who were his associates, who always enjoyed, relished Bhagavatam with him, also used to be there. So in one instance, after many years, he finished 60 or 62 years old, he was this Brahmana. So this Brahmana, once he came back to the temple, and he was not feeling very good, it is health-wise. He wasn't feeling so well. So he came to have a darshan of Krishna at the temple. He paid his obeisances. So when his friends saw him, they all came together to see him and inquired about his welfare and asked him that what his plans were, because they thought that probably if he's going to speak from Srimad Bhagavatam, they want like to hear from him. That was in them. And you have to remember that all of them were all very proficient in Srimad Bhagavatam, and they have studied Srimad Bhagavatam so thoroughly all along their life, all learned people. But still, because of the pleasure of hearing from one particular person, they went up to him. And generally, you have to remember, unlike us, normally Brahmanas are free from envy. Envy is not normally their character. So they have that humility in them to hear about Krishna freely. And they will take advantage of any opportunity like that. So they went up to him after he has finished his seeing Krishna and paid his obeisances. When he just came out, they asked him, "Are we going to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam today?" They said to him. So he said to them, "I haven't thought about it in my mind, because he wasn't feeling very well. But still, when he saw the enthusiasm of the people who came and asked him this question, he said to them that, "What chapters do you want me to read?" He said to them, "What chapters do you want me to read today? Discuss today," he said. So when he said that, all the other Brahmanas had only one answer. They only wanted to hear one thing. What was that? Krishna's childhood. This is what they wanted to hear from him. Childhood is called Balalila. Balalila means the childhood pastimes, which comes right from now on, from the next 15, 20 chapters more or less. So this 15, 20 chapters is Balalila. And Balalila, they wanted to hear from him. He turned back and told them that I am 65, almost getting 65 years old. What Balalila can I discuss now? Balalila is all for children, isn't it? I mean, as a child, you can enjoy it, relish it much more. An older person, 65, he is thinking about, he becomes so serious in life by the age of 65. All humor goes away from a person. Because, as you know very well, that in this material world, what we accumulate is only distress in life, nothing else. That you can see the difference. A child who is 8 or 10 years, he is enjoying playing everywhere. All the time he is looking for an opportunity to play somewhere. But have you seen that happiness any time in the face of a 65-year-old person? He becomes so serious about life. Why? Because throughout life, all he was getting was distress, one after the other. This happened, that happened, something else happened. And one after the other, throughout life, and once he has gone through the householder life, you don't have to say anything more after that. All he has got enough of it, that by then, by 65, he can't even open his teeth and show to anybody. And I don't know what to say, whether he smiles or he just show his teeth like this, openly to people. He can't even smile, because that smiling nature has gone away from the person by now, because of all the distress that has followed him from beginning to end. Whereas the child doesn't think like that. Child is seeing, he is enjoying everything about Krishna, in relationship with Krishna. He can enjoy that. Just like if you remember in the first canto, how Sri Narada Muni was enjoying Srimad Bhagavatam when he heard from the sages. All they talked to him about Krishna's childhood, nothing else. But Narada Muni, from then on, his mind was absorbed in that. He never forgot anything. So this personality, this great devotee, asked the Brahmanas, is it necessary for me to speak about the childhood? I just do not know how to speak the childhood, he said. Because my mind has changed so much in this old body, old mind as well. Cannot relish that anymore. So they all walked into the special place in the temple where they had special facilities for reading Srimad Bhagavatam. People used to come and sit and listen there. So when they all got there, they all became very, very, they all close sat around him. And they would not leave him. They wanted to hear from him, Balalila. That was their interest that day. They were bent upon doing that. What can I say? One of those persons who were there, before they started reading Krishna's pastimes, childhood, again this Brahmana asked the others, does it have to be Balalila? I thought probably you may like to read Ekadasham, the 11th canto, instructions to Uddhava, because that's a very serious topic. And I would have thought probably you would have liked that. So he again asked the question, should it be Balalila? Should it be the childhood? He said to them again. The Brahmana said to him, it has to be Balalila, they said. No compromise at all. It has to be Balalila. One of the persons who were there has told me this, that when he left his body, this personality who told me this, he was 85 years old. He said he had been hearing Srimad Bhagavatam 80 years. And in this 80 years, he said, I have never heard Krishna's childhood discussed like this. He said, it was such an experience of his own that in his life of 80 years of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he said, I haven't heard Krishna's childhood discussed in such a such a way that everyone, when they finished hearing Srimad Bhagavatam that day and they left that hall, there were tears were coming from their eyes hearing about Krishna. So you can see, when you have a speakers like that whose mind are so tuned in Krishna, who knows what is Krishna and who have that relationship with Krishna, when they talk about Krishna, this is what happens. This is the potency of Krishna. That why did Krishna perform all these childhood pastimes? Because he knew there will be devotees in Kali Yuga. There will be devotees who will get attracted by these pastimes. And these pastimes have that potency in them that they'll pull people and make them to sit down and listen about Krishna. And by what happened? Sharnodam Sukhata Krishna Punyashravana Kirtanam Hridyandastohi Abhadrani Vidhunodi Suhrul Sadam. In the beginning, Vedavyas is saying this. Shrinvadham Sakatha Krishna. If you simply hear about Krishna, what happened? Punyashravana Kirtanam. That your punyam, your pious credit will improve. Hridyandastohi Abhadrani. All the Abhadram, so much dust and dirt and garbage that is inside, that will be wiped out. Vidhunodi Hridyandastohya Badrani Vidhunodi Suhrul Sadam. That you will become, you will want to hear more about Krishna. So this is how Krishna consciousness is. This is how the potency or power of Srimad Bhagavatam. That as much as it pulls towards Krishna to such a powerful way, that Maya is pulling you away from Krishna and Balalila is pulling you towards Krishna. This is the potency of Balalila. So about 4 hours they discussed Krishna's childhood in the hall, and hundreds of people who were listening to them at that time, they were in tears when they left the hall after hearing about Krishna's childhood. So if this can happen even during the recent times, you can imagine what would have happened between Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami. What that relationship could be. We think here, sitting here, we do not understand that what personalities were Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. Simply by hearing 7 days of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami got confirmation from Parikshit that he has gone back to the spiritual world. That is the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. From this you can see how potent this Srimad Bhagavatam is, if you can hear it properly. So from this you can see that the power of Srimad Bhagavatam is never lost. Now, before we go further, while talking about the speaker and the listener, we have to have a lot of deeper realizations on these things. It's necessary, because otherwise, this is the age of Kali. What does Kali mean? Kali means everything is duplicitous. That so many duplicit things will be going on in the age of Kali. Duplicity means presenting things which are not real in the wrong way also. And Kali has got one good quality. It will not allow you to do anything properly. Nothing. You cannot do anything properly in this age. Take for example, deity worship. Can you tell me anywhere where deity worship is going on properly? I haven't seen one place yet. Because it is not possible to do it. Only you have to just scratch the surface and look inside what's going on. And then you don't want to go back again to find out about the deity worship. Such an extent that things have gone deteriorated in the age of Kali. You don't have to blame anybody. It is the consciousness of the people who are involved and the people who are engaging them and the people who are going there. All these people will have a role in that. So whether the devotees who go to the temple or the pujaris who do the deity worship or the management who is supplying the money, no matter who it is, everywhere there are problems. There is nowhere where there are no problems. So this is about the deity worship. Talking about other things in spiritual activities, everything is difficult in Kali. Kali will not allow you to do anything properly. So this is the situation in the age of Kali. Because it is like that, because the situation is like that, even while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam also, one has to have a proper realization of the position of Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami, their character, their personality. That comes through Bhagavatam very, very clearly in certain instances. When Parikshit Maharaj addressed Sukadeva Goswami, he called him the word Munisattama. Rajarshir Munisattama. Rajarshir was addressing, Parikshit Maharaj was addressing Sukadeva Goswami as Munisattama. In other words, or best among the sages. And in response, when Sukadeva Goswami heard all these questions from Parikshit, the way he addressed Parikshit was Rajarshi Sattama. Rajarshi Sattama means the best among the sage, among the saintly kings. That was Parikshit. Normally, they don't use these words very freely. Here we use everything very freely. We have no problem. We give all titles to anybody. And whether the man is worthwhile, worth for the qualification or not, doesn't matter. We just throw it up to him and say, you are that, you are this, you are that. We do all kind of rubbish things. But Bhagavatam, this is what you have to notice. Parikshit Maharaj very, very carefully addressed Sukadeva Goswami as Munisattama, Rajasi, and he addressed Parikshit as Rajarshi Sattama. Because of this reason, for one reason only, that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami is not a spiritual master who can be purchased easily. You have to remember that. Why he cannot be purchased is that he will tell you on the face what he feels about his disciple. He doesn't have many disciples. He has not only few. But among those few, he would have no problem in telling them what he felt about certain things. Generally, in the Kali Yuga, this situation changes. Kali Yuga, the difficulty comes in a different way. Sometimes very wealthy people, they take to spiritual life. When they take to spiritual life, their approach is more or less, I'm not saying that it is 100% like that, but these are things which you can observe in Kali Yuga very carefully if you see, that they look for a spiritual master who will suit their requirements. This kind of relationship they want from the beginning. That a spiritual master who will listen to them, what they tell them to do. And they will supply any amount of money for your activities, whatever you want. They have no hesitation in doing that. In response, the spiritual master is also thinking, oh, if I have a celebrity disciple of mine, it's not a bad thing. it'll help me also. So in this kind of relationships in Kali Yuga, which goes on in a long way, people get confused about the relationship between spiritual master and the disciple. Normally, between the disciple and the spiritual master, there is no information that should be kept hiding. Or in other words, the disciple should open up everything to the spiritual master, and the spiritual master should measure the desire of the disciple to develop spiritual knowledge. If he is not serious about it, rather, if it is done purely for the sake of a social affair or to develop some social status, in that case, that spiritual relationship will not bring any benefit to either to the spiritual master or to the disciple. And Kali Yuga has got this biggest problem all the time to face. Due to people sometimes feel that need a spiritual life, but then they are not willing to sacrifice what is required for that. They do not have the mind for it. In other words, they are still thinking, keep their one feet in the life of material life, and think that my material opulences is good enough to support me, but I'll add on my spiritual master to my other acquisitions. So this is how they think about it. So because these relationships are so shallow, that spirituality also doesn't last very long. After a while, that relationships fizzle out. But here, you can see from the relationship between Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami is checking every second, is Parikshit qualified? Parikshit Maharaj is making sure that he is qualified to receive the mercy of spiritual master Sukadeva Goswami. And now all those things reflect in this conversation between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. And that is what Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us. Don't make spiritual life a cheap affair. If one takes to spiritual life, it has to be understood with the proper understanding. What is the position of a disciple? What is the position of a spiritual master? What is that relationship? Unless and until one understands all these things, simply for the sake of formality, if one accepts spiritual master, and then without any proper relationship, that is not going to help either of them. So this Parikshit Maharaj, when now the scene is going to Sukadeva Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami wanted to speak, Srimad Bhagavatam begins here, the 10th canto, addressing Parikshit Maharaj.
Samyak vyavasita buddhistava rajarshi sattama Vasudeva kathayante yajjada naishti girati.
See in the first verse itself how Sukadeva is congratulating Parikshit Maharaj in that verse. How did he congratulate? Naishtigi radhi. Naishtigi means nishta. Nishta means, what does nishta mean? Nishta means one who is totally fixed up. That is nishta. Naishtigi radhi. That Parikshit's position was such that his nishta in hearing about Krishna is so intense that Sukadeva Goswami says he had to congratulate him for that.
Samyak vyavasita buddhi stava rajarshi sattama Vasudeva kathayante yajjada naishtigiradhi.
In hearing about Krishna, Vasudeva katha,
samyak vyavasita buddhi,
that his intelligence is totally absorbed in that. That is what Sukadeva Goswami is saying. Tava rajarshi sattama, O best among the sages, saintly kings, because your intelligence is so much absorbed in Krishna and your mind is so focused,
Vasudeva katha, kathayante yajjada naishtigiradhi. Vasudeva katha prasna purisham strin punadihi vaktaram prachagam shrotram talpada salilam yadha.
That this hearing about Krishna is such that it absorbs one's mind to such an extent.
Vasudeva katha prasna purisham strin punadihi vaktaram prachagam shrotram talpada salilam yadha.
That it purifies one's consciousness to such a level that vaktaram, prachagam, sotram, the speaker and the listener, everyone gets purified in that process. And he carried on,
tatra vetva jagannadam devadevam vrishakabim purusham purushasuktena upadaste samahidam.
So the story begins there, that once it so happened, Bhumi Devi is Mother Earth. Mother Earth went to demigods and said to her, this is actually, you have to see, this story of Bhumi Devi is approaching the demigods, Devadeva, all the demigods, is mentioned in other literatures also, particularly Mahabharata. Mahabharata gives a much more detailed version of all these things. But because it's not so important in the Bhagavatam, Sudeva Goswami has summarized it quite a bit. But in the Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, if you see, there the whole trip of Bhumi Devi, the travel of Bhumi Devi to see the demigods, and complaining to demigods about the situation in the planet Earth. That's discussed there. When she went there, Mother Earth could not bear the weight of this planet anymore. That's what has happened. She could not bear the weight of the Earth anymore. Why? Because the population has increased so much in this planet. Not only that, most of the population were very, very demoniac. And they were mostly demons who, after the battle between the demigods and demons, which happened in the after churning the milk ocean, if you remember, that churning the milk ocean, after that battle, many, many demons were killed by the demigods, but they never got liberated. What happened was, they came to this earth and they took birth here as kings in the royal families. They fully took advantage and they took birth in the royal families in this planet. So the whole Mother Earth was experiencing a heavy weight from that, from the weight of this the demoniac kings. So she went up to complain to the demigods about it. Now you may ask this question, that is the demigods, is the demons way more than the devotees? That question can be asked, isn't it? If you put on a balance, one side devotee and the other side demon, the demon should weigh more. Why should he weigh more? After all, they are also like us with the flesh and blood, isn't it? So this question may come up. Why we say like this is that the weight of demons, Bhumi Devi cannot bear it. That is a fact. Bhumi Devi, that an example to understand this, how, why she can't bear it. For example, a mother has a child, say 4 or 5 year old boy, and mother loves the child very much. She likes to always sit with him, keep him in her lap, and embrace him, cuddle him, all that she does out of love and affection for the child. So he goes to school first day and comes back. Mother is curious to know what all has happened in the school. So everything, she gives him a nice sweet so that she can get all the information out of him. So these are all normal mother's tactics to control the children. So she gives a sweet to him. The son takes the sweet, comes and sits in mother's lap. He weighs probably something like 20 kilos or 25 kilos. He sits there, but mother is not feeling, complaining anything about it. She still enjoys sitting with the son and enjoying the sweet and listening to all what he is talking about. But so long as he sits there, she has no complaint about his weight. Nothing she complains about it. After a while, he gets up and walks away. Now, instead of him, the boy, if he puts in a 25 kilo weight on her lap and tell her, now you enjoy that weight for a few hours, will she enjoy that? No. Can she enjoy it? No, she can't enjoy it because it's a weight for her at that time. It's exactly like that here also. Devotees are not a weight for Mother Earth. Mother Earth likes to provide them everything what they need. She said this very clearly to Prithu Maharaj. As long as they are not worshipping, instructions to me from Krishna is, I will provide them everything what they want, so long as they execute their obligations, mainly the spiritual life. The moment they stop that, I will withdraw everything. Mother Earth will not provide the food, will provide everything from and restrict the supply, she said to Prithu Maharaj. You can read that in the fourth canto. So, from this you can see, the weight of the earth or Mother Earth is feeling the weight when you have demoniac people on the planet. Demoniac weight weighs heavier than the devotees. This is what it means. So that is why she went back to the demigods and told them that this is what is happening, and I can't do anything about it. And she was crying. When she was crying, the demigod said to her that we also cannot help this very much because these are very powerful persons, so come there. Let us go to our grandfather Brahma. they all went to Brahmalokam. Then when they saw Lord Brahma there, when they went to Lord Brahma said to them that, is it that bad situation on Mother on Earth, earthly planet? The Mother Earth told him that if you do not believe it, what I am saying, ask these demigods, they will tell you what is going on. So demigods strongly supported Mother Earth, and they all together complained very heavily to Lord Brahma to do something about it. Lord Brahma says, what can I do? Because normally in the construction, in the hierarchy of this administration of the universe, Brahma's business is only to create and leave them. Finished. Brahma doesn't bother what happens after that. He's finished with that. And then Vishnu's responsibility is to maintain everything goes on well. And Lord Shiva, he has the responsibility, Shiva's responsibility, when the time is right, finish up everything and send it back. That's all. So these three responsibilities clearly defined, and nobody want to encroach upon the, nobody want to encroach upon the others' territory. Administration is very strictly clearly defined, the area of activities. So Brahma said to them that, let's do one thing. After all, everything who decides everything, ultimately who is finishing up this whole business is Lord Shiva, isn't it? Let's go to him. All of them came to Kailas to see him. They came to Kailas and they went and paid their respects to Lord Shiva. They know Lord Shiva can do it. So Lord Shiva discussed, thought about this whole thing. And Lord Shiva said to them that there is a problem here, he said. Problem is this, that there is a fixed time span given to me when I should completely finish up this whole creation. And if I do anything before than that, that is also an encroachment into the rules. It won't be good for me to do that. It's not that I can't do it. I can do it. But if I do that, it will not be proper to do that, because there is a certain amount of time these planets have to stay here in this condition. When the time is ripe, I have to act. Lord Shiva's duty as the destroyer, his function comes in at that point. So the time is not ready yet, he said to them. That's one problem. The second problem is, all these people who have come and taken birth here, they have all purchased a ticket before they have come here. Do you know what the ticket is? This is a very expensive ticket it is, what they have got with them. The ticket is that they all have purchased a ticket to go back to Vaikuntha by hating Krishna. By fighting against Krishna, they want to fight against Krishna, get killed and go back to Vaikuntha. They have bought this ticket already. Because if you remember in the seventh canto, Narada Muni has spoken about this before. What did he say? He said, while Parikshit Maharaj asked this question to Sri Shugan, that was at that time, it was Narada Vaja. Sri Narada Muni was saying, in the beginning of seventh canto, you can notice it there, that there is a specific statement that different people approach Krishna in different mood, isn't it? They come to Krishna with different mood. Somebody hate Krishna. Somebody that is who hated Krishna, Shishupala hated Krishna. And he got liberated in that way. Because all these different emotions of human being towards Krishna, when it comes to a very intense stage, Krishna kills them and sends them back to spiritual world. This is how it happens. What happens in this world? All these demons are in that category. For example, Deshya Chaidyadayo Nruba Sambandho Vishneya Snehal Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam Vibhom. Sri Narada Muni was saying this to Yudhishthira Maharaj in the Rajasuya sacrifice in Indraprastham. That is where this happened. That Sneha Dvedal Bhayal Kamsam Deshya Chaidyadayo Nruba Sambandho Vishneya Snehal Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam Vibhom. This is what they said. What does it mean? It means that everyone relate with Krishna in different emotions, with emotional feelings they have. For example, he said to the Pandavas, you have approached with devotion. Yuyam bhaktya vayam vibhom. I have also approached Krishna in the same way. How did Kamsa approach Krishna? In fear. Kamsa was always fearful of Krishna. So that is what gave him the ticket of liberation to go back to the spiritual world. He got a ticket like that. He purchased that ticket and he had come here. Deshya Chaityadeyo Anurva. Chaityadeyan is Chedi, kingdom of Chedi, and the king is Shishubala. Shishubala hated Krishna from the very beginning. He did not want to know anything about Krishna. He won't even call Krishna in any respectful way. He used to say like that. Krishna is he for him. So Deshya Chaityadeyo Anurva. Sambandho Vrishnayas Nehal. All the Vrishnis, all the Vrishnis, that is the Adavas and Vrishnis, they all had a relationship with Krishna due to their family relationship. Sambandho Vrishnayas Nehal Yuyam Bhaktya Avayam Vibhom. Pandavas had love for Krishna and devotion we had. And the gopis said, Gopya Kamal Bhayal Kamsa. Gopis have kamam. They had lust towards Krishna. Their lusty desires towards Krishna. They had such a lusty desire for Krishna that they matured that relationship. And when it became so intense, that relationship, the gopis went back to the spiritual world. So every category you can see in the Bhagavatam, that all of them have different kind of relationship with Krishna. So here also, Gopya Kamal Bhayal Kamsa Deshe Chaityadeyo Anurva Sambandho Vrishnayas Neha Alyuyam Bhaktya Avayam Vibhom. So for different relationships, they've all gone back to the spiritual world. Isn't it? All these people have gone back to the spiritual world at the end. They may be demons, they may be gopis, they may be devotees. It doesn't matter. Ultimately, they've all gone back to the spiritual world. How? Because their relationship with Krishna has become very intense. Our problem is we have no relationship, one. Number two, even if we have relationship, it is so feeble that it cannot manifest at any time. Only when we are in distress for a second, we think about Krishna. This is our relationship. Whereas they, even if they were hating Krishna, they hated so strongly that they could not forget Krishna. This was their capacity. Similarly, when Kamsa was fearing about Krishna, you should see, and later on it will come in the Bhagavatam, about Kamsa's relationship with Krishna. When Kamsa went back to sit in his palace, in his room, he was checking in the seat inside if Vishnu was there, hiding there. So such an extent, he was Krishna conscious. This is the interesting thing. Gopya Kamal Bhayal Kamsa Deshe Chaityadayo Anurva Sambandho Vishnayas Nehal Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam Vibhom. So all of them, whatever relationship they had with Krishna, it was in perfection. This is the beauty of that. Whereas for us, there is neither relationship, nor perfection, nor beauty. Nothing. Dull stone. Morning to evening with a camera, walk around taking photos of the deities everywhere and send it email and to others. Look, we are all in spiritual life, enjoying our spiritual life with this kind of...
What happened to the Mother Earth you were talking about?
Sorry?
No, you were saying about the Mother Earth.
Yeah, we're coming to that.
So,
this was the situation, that when this has happened, that these relationships with the Krishna has matured. So all these demons who have come here in the Dwapara Yugam, they have all come with different tickets like this. So Lord Shiva knew why they have come here. And that was the reason Lord Shiva said to Krishna, to Brahma, that it's not proper for me to do it either. So otherwise Lord Shiva could have done that. It is not, after all, who can destroy the universe where it's a question of a few demons. So he gave that back to Brahma again, and together they decided to go back to Vishnu to discuss with him. So when they all went to Mahavishnu, who was enjoying and he's resting in the ocean of milk, they approached on the banks and they started glorifying Vishnu. So Mahavishnu also said to them that I have killed them before in the battle. when there was a battle between the demons and the demigods, I have killed them. And I have killed them, and they have come back here again. They have never gone back. So maybe we should speak to the Supreme Lord now. That is the only answer they could see. That is why all three, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Vishnu, together, they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So that is how Bhumi Devi and all the demigods, they were all wanted to contact. So that responsibility of contacting the Supreme Lord in the Goloka Vrindavanam, which is the abode of Krishna, that responsibility was given to Lord Brahma. Brahma was given the responsibility. So they all went from there. They started. They have a system, a telephone system, which is more advanced than our digital technology. In this system, what they had to do was, if you have chanted this mantra Purusha Suktam properly, there is a process called Mahapurusha Nyasam. Mahapurusha Nyasam means that chanting this Purusha Suktam and with full concentration, if one can assume in one's own body different parts, Purusha Suktam prayers will discuss the different parts of the body. It is a topic in itself. Purusha Suktam prayers, we have to discuss it later. If you recite these Purusha Suktam prayers properly, with the full concentration of the mind, with different parts of one's own body, assuming to be the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, automatically, whatever thoughts you have in your mind will be known to Krishna there, and response will come from Goloka Vrindavanam. Which means that the Supreme Person, the process to contact the Supreme Lord is this process, what is known as through the Purusha Suktam prayers and Mahapurusha Nyasam. And we also study Purusha Suktam prayers. We also chant them. But our telephone doesn't work. His telephone works. Brahma's telephone is always working. When Brahma chants the Purusha Suktam prayers, it works. But when we chant the Purusha Suktam prayers, it's a broken telephone. It doesn't work. When Brahma dials the number, he gets it. He gets through. We never get through. It was like the olden days telephone, which never worked. You go shout, yell at it, and ultimately you bang it on the machine. So it was something like our chanting Purusha Suktam is like that. We chant all Purusha Suktam, all mantras we chant, but nothing is working. 40, 50 years, some people have chanted Purusha Suktam, and nothing has happened. But Brahma has been given this special capacity that he could contact Krishna there. So when he phoned there, when this Purusha Suktam was chanted, from the call was answered from there, just like, you know, big institutions, like big offices and banks and all these places. When you call, the answer, normally who picks up the phone at the other end? It's always normally a lady's voice, isn't it? Never male. So same thing happened here also. When he phoned, the person at the other end took up the phone and asked who is calling now. It was one of the gopis calling, answering back from Golagam. Because there, it's only Krishna and the gopis there. So the gopis took up the phone and asked who is calling. So Brahma thought that they will all know me very well. I am Brahma, isn't it? That's what our Brahma was thinking. So Brahma said to them, I am Brahma calling from this universe, he said, from the universe. So the answer straight away came back from there. Which Brahma? That was the question. Now it was the first time Brahma got confused that our Brahma doesn't have a number, which Brahmandam or universe this is. He doesn't have a number of his own. So he doesn't know who what to say to them. He was thinking that I'm the only Brahma in the whole creation. But there are millions reporting to Krishna in the same way. Millions of Brahmas reporting to him. So answer came back, unless I know which Brahma is calling, I couldn't take it further, she said. Looks like here also, you see, when you call, you want to see the boss, you want to call the boss. The secretary is kept there only to stop you getting him. So she will put all kinds of awkward questions and stop you and stop the sales call there itself. So exactly the same thing that this gopi said to Brahma, that I want to know who it is. But then Mahavishnu was standing next to Brahma and said to Brahma, don't worry about it, tell her, she will understand this, that we are calling from that universe, that Brahmandam, which shell is broken. When Vamana Murthy was measuring the earthly planet. And at that time, if you remember in the 8th canto, the story of Bali Maharaj and Vamanamurti, Vamanamurti, when he lifted his leg, it went up and went up and broke the shell of the universe. And that is how the Karanajalam, Karanarnava ocean, from that Karanajalam came down. Ganga Devi also came, isn't it? And that happened with Vamanamurti. Vamanamurti's toe went and broke the shell of the universe. So if you just tell her that we are calling from that universe which has got a broken shell due to Vamanamurti's feet tearing it apart, and then they will understand. So Brahma said that to her. So Brahma mentioned that, and she understood that, oh, this is such and such Brahma calling. And then after that, she didn't call, speak anymore. Then it was the beautiful voice and the sweet voice of Krishna which came through the phone. And Krishna's answer was that, I am aware of everything what is going on. Can you imagine? You are going to somebody with a big complaint. How much relief you will feel when he says to you that I am totally aware of everything what's going on. You don't. That means you don't have to start the whole process of explaining everything, isn't it? That is what Jane Jinamaham Dasham. Krishna says that I know everything what is going on in your Brahmandam. He said to Brahma, and I have decided that something has to be done. I'm aware of that. So, and don't worry, I will come down, and I am going to come down. I will appear in the Yadava Kulam, among the Yadavas. And soham samagralmana, I am not coming in the normal way. In the Bhagavadam, if you see all these verses, you will get a fairly good picture why Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You don't have to look anywhere else. If you just read those few verses very carefully, Krishna's way of arriving here to this world, how much he stands above every other personality in the spiritual world. Here he explains there, I will be coming. And he told all the demigods straight away, you also come if you want to see me this time there. Because demigods don't have such an access there to him. You can also come. He invited everybody to come. So the demigods thought, last time we were invited and we went as monkeys, isn't it? When Ramachandra came, Ramachandra also invited them to come. They all came as monkeys and gave full support. And they had a good time all together. And they all went back. But this time Krishna has told them, every one of them, you can come, male, female, everybody, all of them are invited. And then he said something more there. He said, last time I gave enough trouble to Balaram. I've given him enough trouble, but this time he will come as my elder brother, he said. He'll come as my elder brother. So there will be no problem. That is one thing he said. So all this description if you read, and the next thing he said, Krishna said was, that apart from we two, somebody else is coming this time. Who is that? Durga Devi. I have asked her also to come. So when the demigods, who is Durga Devi? You have to remember that. Durga Devi is the Yogamaya. That powerful material energy. In this material world, there is nothing you can do without her knowledge. No matter who it is, she is aware of everything. That is her power. And when she is coming with Krishna, that has to be very, very special. Demigods knew this very well. The way she has been glorified. Sindhurajuna vigraham tamenam manikyam aulespura taranayaka shegaram mabivabina vakshorukham panibhyamali purnaratna jashakam rektvatpalam vibradim saumyam rektakadastarakta jaranam dhyayel paramambigam Lalitasasanamam glorifying Sri Durga. It's like that. That she has been glorified to such an extent. But when she comes, everybody wanted to know why she is coming. It hasn't even happened at the time when Lord Ramachandra came. So that's why it becomes a little bit more serious business. So there must be something serious going to happen. Krishna won't reveal that to anybody. No, Krishna never does that. Because activities of Maya, Krishna and Maya has a specific understanding. He is kept very confidential. It's like an operation before the war, that how things are kept in confidence. It's exactly like that Krishna does with material energy and Krishna. That is purely confidential. It's not known to anybody. So Krishna said to them that she is also coming. So all the demigods got inspired because material energy, Yogamaya is also going to be there, Balaram is going to be there, Adishesha Bhagavan, and the Supreme Lord Krishna himself is coming. So this is all the scene. And Krishna said to Mother Earth, Bhumi Devi, do not be frightened. Everything will be sorted out in a short time. You don't have to worry about anything. As soon as Mother Earth heard this, she was in such an ecstasy, Bhagavatam says, that the happiness she got as soon as they hear about the arrival of Krishna, because now she is thinking how fortunate she is that Krishna is going to walk on her chest. That's what she was thinking. And with all the arrival of all these demigods and the great personalities from the heavenly planets and the spiritual world, Bhumi Devi felt ecstasy. The result was that she was providing everything for everybody, what they wanted. Unless Mother Earth provides, our survival is not possible in this world. She is providing us all the time our necessities. And there is no guarantee that you throw a seed in the earth that it has to come out. Who is providing it? Who is behind it? We may make so many logic behind it. We take it for granted all this is happening automatically. That if you throw a seed of a bean comes out from that. If you sow a tree, sow the seed of an eggplant comes from that. So how come all these different things are packed up nicely in this seed and the Mother Earth is able to generate the plant what we require from that? So many things, and every living entity is dependent on her. So she was absolutely pleased with this announcement of Krishna. And they all returned back to their own abode. The demigods went back to their planets, Mother Earth came back, and that is that one particular scene finishes there. Sudeva Goswami, at this point in Srimad Bhagavatam, takes us to another situation, that is where the scene of Madhura. It is completely different scene, Madhurapuri, which is also known as Madhuvanam, has become Madhurapuri. In Madhura, the scene is now set up. There, the marriage has happened. Marriage of whom? Marriage of Devaki to Vasudev. Vasudev and Devaki got married. That is what, but it is not spoken here how this marriage happened and what happened during the marriage, how the marriage was performed and all. Sudeva Goswami has not spent any time in discussing any of those things, because if you have to discuss all those things, you will require another 10 days. Devaki's marriage to Vasudev. Ugrasena was the king, but Ugrasena was not ruling. His son Kamsa was ruling the earth. And Kamsa, he has actually taken over the administration. Won't allow Ugrasena to do anything. Ugrasena's younger brother was Devaka. And Devaka's daughter is Devaki. And Devaki Devi, who happened to become Krishna's mother, she was born there. And her marriage to Vasudev has been arranged. And this is the marriage day that we are taken there, to that day, to that place. And Sukadeva Goswami is saying, the marriage is just over. That is how he begins it. He doesn't want to say anything more than that, because he knows that if I have to talk about marriage now, there will be a lot of time delay. So he decided that marriage is over, and from the castle or the fort where they had their palace or whatever, from there, they are leaving the palace and they are on their way to Vasudev's palace. Vasudev and Devaki are on their way. Devaki has been dressed up so well that full of jewelry, gold jewelry, and full of garlands and flowers on her hair, and very well dressed that she looked so beautiful in that after all, Supreme Personality of Godhead's mother, isn't it? So she can't have an ordinary personality as mother. So she is very special. Devaki Devi is very special. So she, Devaki Devi, has on that day boarded the chariot. Vasudev also sat in the chariot. And the charioteer was about to start driving the chariot from the castle, from the palace. It was then that, it had just started, that time Kamsa came forward and said to her, send to the charioteer, come out of the chariot, I am going to drive the chariot. He said, I'm going to drive the chariot, because don't forget that Kamsa had a lot of love for Devaki Devi. She was his sister, isn't it? And he loved Devaki so much that this is the marriage ceremony has finished, and Kamsa wanted to show her. Kamsa is the king that day, that time. So he wanted to show his affection to her by driving the chariot himself. All this problem Krishna has created. Nobody else. Krishna has created deliberately all this situation from behind the scene. The charioteer could have taken happily gone. No, no, no. Kamsa had to show his love for him, love for her. So he gets in and throws him out. The other chariot driver or charioteer is thrown out from there and held the chariot, and the chariot just started moving out of the palace. It has just come out, not gone very far. Meanwhile, suddenly from the sky, a voice appeared. Ashariri walk, it says in the Bhagavatam, Ashariri walk. What was Ashariri walk? Ashariri walk was straight away addressing Kamsa, calling, "Hey Kamsa," that is how it was addressed. You can imagine calling somebody, "Hey Kamsa," that is it. That is the end of your call. There will be no more calling after that. So this was a shock to Kamsa's system altogether. You know, Kamsa hasn't had this, no one calling him in his life so far. Somebody calling him Kamsa like that. He called Kamsa, so Kamsa stopped all the musical instruments that were being played, all veena, tabla, all kinds of things were being played because his beloved sister is going back to the husband's home. So everything was being played, but in a second Kamsa said to stop everything. So the sky, the voice from the sky thought, maybe Kamsa hasn't heard enough, I'll call him again, he said. And called again Kamsa. Now, why now? Kamsa's hands went onto the sword. Who is it that calling me in this way? Very carefully, he attentively listened to it. And the voice was, instruction was that this sister of yours, whom you think is your beloved sister, the 8th pregnancy from this sister will kill you in this world. Be prepared, do what you like, he said. They said to him. Like that was enough for Kamsa. Kamsa did not take his hand away from the sword, pulled out the sword, and the next thing he did was he pulled Devaki Devi's hair, and which was very nicely done and fully decorated with flowers and garlands, everything. And she looked so beautiful that she pulled Devaki's hair and pulled her out of the chariot, outside the chariot, out of the chariot. Devaki Devi has also heard the same thing, announcement from the sky, Ashariri. She has heard, Vasudeva has also heard. All the people have very clearly heard everything what was spoken. So Kamsa didn't want to wait anymore. If I just finish Devaki right now, then where is the problem? That was Kamsa's thought. So pulled her out and pulled the sword out and was about to cut her into pieces. Meanwhile, Vasudev entered the scene. Vasudev decided. Vasudev, Krishna mentions in the Krishna book, Prabhupada calls Vasudev as one of the most intelligent person who can think and act properly at the right time. So that's why it's mentioned like that about Vasudev. So Vasudev came out of the chariot and looked at Kamsa and started speaking to Kamsa. Somehow or the other, Vasudev said to Kamsa that normally if you want to influence anyone in any way, there is a system, Chaturupayam it's called. There are 4 processes, Samam, Danam, Vedam, Dandam. These are the 4 things in the Shastram. This is all in the diplomatic science and all, you will find all these things. Kaudilya, Sattashastram, Chanakya's, Nidhishastram, you'll find all these things mentioned there. So what basically it means is that if you are in a dangerous situation, you can apply any one of these 4, either one of them or all of them or 2 of them, whichever you like, depending on the situation. So Vasudev decided to apply 3 of them in this situation because that's all he could do. Samam, Dhanam, Vedam, Dandam. What it means is, Samam means you persuade a person in a nice way to agree with you and to make him agree to do what you want him to do. For example, in this case, you want to save Devaki Devi from being killed by Kamsa. So that is persuasion, that is what Samam. Dana means to offer something in return and make him accept that offering and prevent him from doing a bad thing of killing or giving any punishment like this. Veda means you make him aware of the comparative way, you present things to him in such a way that he is able to understand that the benefit of not doing the wrong thing and bring him out of this dangerous situation. And if none of these three things works, you've got the last option, which is known as dandam. Dandam means take a lathi or stick and beat him on his head and make him agree. So that is a last resort, as they say. Sometimes you can see this in diplomacy also between the governments. Suppose two countries are coming to war, close to the war. The one who is sensible, intelligent, will think before entering into war. He will try all the other diplomatic missions and talking each other. That is why they keep talking to the midnight and early hours in the morning. Talking goes on continuously. When all the talking fails, what do? The next thing, they start bombing straight away. That is dandam. So diplomacy hasn't changed from then and now. It's all the same thing goes on in different forms. In the early days, they will, individual level or on a collective level, they will do the same thing. Samadhana Bheda Dandam. One of these four things will be applied. So Vasudev knew with Kamsa, dandam cannot work because he is more powerful. So there is no question of dandam going to happen there. He has got only three options, Samam, Bhedam, and Samadhanam, Sama, Bhedam, Dhanam. Three things he can do here. So he first thing, he tried to put this, apply this first one, Samam. And that is why here in the Bhagavadam, there is a number of verses where Vasudev is trying to persuade Kamsa not to take up this approach of killing Devaki. How did he do that? First of all, Vasudev said to Kamsa that, my dear Kamsa, after all, killing Devaki Devi is not a problem. How long does it take for you? 2 seconds. You can finish her. And nobody can stop you from doing that. You are such a powerful personality. There is no question of anyone trying to obstruct you or fight with you. There is no question at all. But think about this, Vasudev said to. Vasudev thought about Krishna at that time in his heart. Krishna was giving him this intelligence to speak in the proper way. After all, with few words, you can change a demon's heart even. Then Kamsa's approach was that Kamsa was told by Vasudev, first of all, if you kill Devaki, what will people say about you? First thing, they will say that you are such a coward who killed a woman. And that is not a very nice thing for your reputation itself, as though Kamsa had a big reputation. That's the way Vasudev told about this. First thing, don't do that, he said, because your reputation will be affected. The demons always feel when you talk about their reputation, because the demons always think that they have a big reputation. Whether it's good or bad, that's another thing. But they are very fond of their reputation, maintaining their reputation. So the same thing happened Kamsa stopped for the minute. And then all the words what were spoken from then on, from Vasudev to Kamsa, is full of samam, different things. He said to Kamsa, my dear Kamsa, look at this way. That you heard something from the sky. It was an ashariri vak. What does it say? It said that the eighth pregnancy, that's how it says, ashtama garbham it says, not says the ashtama sutta, or the eighth child doesn't say, ashtama garbha it says, eighth pregnancy will kill you, that is what it says, isn't it? Suppose if I hand over all of them to you, where is the problem? Where is your problem? And Vasudev thought this for a second before he said this, and when he said this, for a second, Kamsa was surprised that a father is offering all the children to him to kill as and when they are born. So Kamsa was shocked a little bit by that. So he thought that Vasudev is not a bad person. You know, after all, he is trustworthy. He has never spoken or done anything in life till now which you could not trust him. And here he is committing like this. So maybe that he has got some sense in what he is saying. And then Vasudev said to Kamsa, that think about this, he said, Kamsa, that after all, this thing what has come from the sky, how do you know it's all going to happen accordingly? First of all, where is the guarantee that Devaki Devi will have 8 children? Sometimes they don't even have one. What to talk about 8? So there is a question of 8 children, Devaki is having them. That's number one. Number two, where is the guarantee that Kamsa, you will be living there till then? Well, after all, death is there for everybody. You can see the verses here. Very clearly, he says here that he says Vasudeva Vacha, verse number, if you read from 37 onwards.
Shlaghaniya gunashurer bhavan bhojayashaskara sakadham bhakinim hanyal sayam udvaha bhavani mrityur janma vadam veera,
he calls him as veera, dehena sahajayade adyava abdashadam deva mrityur vai praninam druvam, that death is certain for any living entity who has accepted a material body. Death is a certain thing. You cannot escape from that.
Dehe panjatumabhani dehi karmanigo vashaha,
that this material body made of 5 material elements is subjected to karma. Karma nobody can escape. And Kamsa also believed in that. Kamsa believes in karma. But because he is demoniac and he thinks that his karma is very good karma, what he is doing, he was able to do all these things. But dehi karmanigo vashaha, that dehi also is moving, accepts another body according to his karma. Vasudev is saying this to Kamsa. That praninam, mrityurvai praninam druva, death is certain for anybody. Anyone who is born in this world has to die. So whether it's me or Kamsa or anyone, Vasudev said, the death is certain. So nothing is clear from these words on the sky, is it? It's just a word came out saying that a child will kill you. That's all it said. But where is the guarantee that you will be there till then? Number one. Where is the guarantee Devaki Devi will have 8 children? Number two. Where is the guarantee that Devaki Devi will ever have children? Number three. Where is the guarantee that Devaki Devi will be living there till then? Number of questions. Where is the guarantee that I will be alive? Vasudev said. Nothing is clear, he said. This is really foolishness to kill her in a situation like this when everything is so so unclear and everything is so, nothing is specified properly. So when Vasudeva was saying all these things, naturally Kamsa's mind became a little bit relaxed. Kamsa started thinking that Vasudeva is not a bad person. After all, he has promised me to bring all the children and I can sort it out. After all, why should I kill her now? These thoughts came to his mind. Simultaneously, when this was going on, in the mind of Parikshit Maharaj, there was another question coming up. That, is Vasudev not telling a lie? Because he is saying here that he will hand over the 8th child to Kamsa. Yeah? And did he do that? No. He took the child and went away to Gokul to exchange with Yogamaya, isn't it? So that means Vasudev is telling a lie. In those days, people had a lot of fear to say things which were not true. In the sense that Parikshit Maharaj will not think very high of Vasudev if Vasudev has taken a false vow like this. Parikshit knows that. Sri Shukan knows that. So therefore, Parikshit was thinking over this. And to avoid that, just imagine how much value they gave to their words when they spoke something. Not like today. Today people will say something. The next moment they'll change. Sorry about that. Go on to do something else. And then they will, this is our nature. We can change as in many lives. We have no value for our words. When we speak something, we don't uphold this. We do what we like and then we say sorry about this and then we do something else. Then this is our nature. But in those days, they had, then they spoke something, they meant it. And if they had to change their word, they felt ashamed of that, that they could not execute that properly. So this was in the mind of Parikshit, that he thought about Vasudeva for a second, that Vasudeva is saying this like this, but what can happen if later on if the baby has escaped by Krishna's taken away from there. So in order to that mistake do not happen, the whole thing was twisted by Krishna in such a clever way, which you can see here. If you read the verse number in the Sri Shuka Uvacha, that is in this Vasudeva Uvacha, it comes two lines you will find there. Na hyasyaste bhayam saumya yadvagaha sharirini putran samarpayishyesyal yadaste bhayamuttidam. Two lines only you have to read. What does that line mean? Great scholars on Bhagavatam says that Krishna arranged Saraswati Devi to go and sit on the tongue of Vasudeva at that time and to specifically put these words out through his mouth. That is Saraswati's potency, isn't it? How can you speak nicely in this world when Saraswati Devi gives you that ability to speak properly? You can speak nicely. That is how in the beginning of Bhagavatam also, Sudeva Goswami prays to Krishna for that ability to speak, power of speech. Soilam Krishishta Bhagavan Vajam Sime. That let me come and decorate my words, he says to Krishna. And did he decorate his words? He did decorate his words. That is how Srimad Bhagavatam flowed from then on, from the second canto. So here, in the same way, with Vasudeva wanted to present this, the words were spoken very precisely by him in such a way that it has got two, three different meanings from there. That first thing he was said was, Putran samarpayeshyami, I will hand over the children to you from whom you have nothing to fear. In other words, from the one whom you have to fear, I will not hand him over to you. You see, how duplicitously Vasudeva has spoken that. And who gave this ability to Vasudeva? Saraswati Devi gave that to her. That is why if Krishna wants something to happen, nobody can stop it. It will happen. No matter how clever one is, ultimately all of us are controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when Vasudeva spoke to Kamsa, he said, Na hyasyaste bhayam saumya yadvagaha sharirini putran samarpayishyesyal yadaste bhayamuttidam. I'll hand over all those children from whom you don't have to have any fear. In other words, from one you'll have to have fear, I will not hand him over to you. He kept that, he didn't say that, but it implies automatically. I'll give you an example, you can think about this. Sometimes, somebody comes up and tells you, you have a group of people whom you consider reasonably in good standing, or you consider your guides in life, or whatever way you call it, spiritual master, whatever you are. So somebody comes to you and says that so and so, you know, he is very good because he is very humble and he is very he is a nice person, or he is a nice devotee. When you say like that, what does that mean? It also implies the others are not. That's also there in that, but that's not spoken. It automatically brings that impression in the person who is listening. That is why Krishna says in the Bhagavadam, you should not glorify people unnecessarily, for this reason only. Because you may go and saying to people, oh, so-and-so is so great, so big, so this. All the other time you are condemning also somebody down there. Without his knowledge, it brings an impression like that. That is not our business. It says in the Bhagavadam like that. Bhagavadam is saying this for one reason only. That in the Ekadasi Skandam, while talking to Uddhava, Krishna had to say this to him. Three modes of material nature is everywhere. And you will see this in different people at different levels. Somebody in higher in the mode of goodness, somebody in the lower mode of goodness. It is the modes of nature that is working. You don't have to particularly be enamored or by affected by the activities of that individual. It is nothing but the modes of nature that is forcing him to act like this. That's why Krishna says there, Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsayel na garhayel. another person's mentality or nature or his way of doing things, you don't have to appreciate it, nor you have to condemn it. Condemning is also wrong, because modes of nature is working in that person, in different people, in different modes of nature. Somebody who is in ignorance and passion, he will show his ignorance in all his activities also. Similarly, passion also. Similarly, goodness also. Para svabhava karmani na prashamsayel na garhayel. Neither one should do, Krishna says to Uddhava. But we, normally we have this problem. We in ignorance will say, oh Prabhu, you don't know me, you know. I know this person is so good, he is so advanced, or this, that and the other. All kind of things he will say. But naturally he is comparing in his own mind with somebody else and saying this. Or for some reason he wants to uplift that particular person. And eventually that person will fall and then everyone will start clapping their hands. Now that's finished. So this is what goes on in this world all the time. There's nothing different about it. So here it says here that you, how you can, by expressing in a particular way, it can imply something else which you have not even spoken. So exactly that's what Vasudeva has done here. Vasudeva spoke in such a way that ultimately, the message got through to Kamsa. Kamsa was affected. Kamsa said to him that, all right, he said, you have promised this, touch the sword, and Kshatriyas, that's how they give the promise. Hold the sword and make the promise, he said. Vasudeva did that. And along with that, the problem was resolved, at least for the temporarily. Vasudeva thought that at least I've escaped temporarily, but he knew that what Kamsa is. A demon can change his mind any time because his words have no meaning. He will say one thing today, next moment he can change his mind and he will do what he wants to do. That is the demonic mind. Anyway, at least Vasudeva thanked Krishna for temporarily I have come out of the problem. And then the chariot went back to the palace. As soon as it got back to the palace, in the palace, Vasudeva and Devaki stayed for some time. And Kamsa was watching the situation very carefully. And when he was watching the situation very carefully, it so happened that in due course, Devaki Devi became pregnant. When Devaki Devi became pregnant, Vasudeva took the son and decided to go and see Kamsa with him, with the first boy. Now, when he decided to leave, you can imagine Vasudeva's situation at that moment. That first child is born and he has to take him and go to get be slaughtered or butchered by Kamsa. And he has to take his baby and go there. What could have been going through his mind, you can imagine. That is why he is called, here he is addressed as from Shurasena. That Shura means one who is courageous. That's the word Sri Shukan uses about him, how courageous Krishna was at that time. Vasudeva was at that time. So that way, Vasudeva decided to take the baby and go to see Kamsa. When he went up to see Kamsa, Kamsa said, this is the first one, isn't it? I've been only told that's the eighth one I have to be worried about. So Kamsa let him go. Let Vasudeva go back to the palace again. And when Vasudeva was left to go back to the palace, Vasudeva felt extremely relieved temporarily, but he knew the waiting in danger. And then the second one, third one, fourth one, every time when the baby is born, the baby was brought to Kamsa. Apparently, you know this system we have also today, that when a child is born, you have to inform the government that the child is born, isn't it? Then only you can get the birth certificate. The certificate starts at the day itself, first day itself, certification. So this process apparently started with Kamsa. Kamsa told Vasudeva, bring them and register them every day. Every time when a child is born, you bring them and register them. And that Kamsa's ruling is still in validity today in this world. You can see how good we are in following Kamsa's instructions. How nicely we are executing without any changes. A living entity takes birth in this world out of his karma. When the karma is finished, the living entity leaves this world. But we, such intelligent people, put all certificates and documentation on that body and make him suffer here till the last minute, even while leaving this world, you have to get a certificate that he is dead and hand over to all the insurance companies to get the insurance money, to the bank to close your, all your accounts, and to the building society to close your mortgages, whatever it is. Like this, a series of commitments we have created based on this material body, which we have come here. So this whole business of certification actually started by Kamsa. And that is why it is still very effective in this world of today. This material world, earthly planet, Krishna's property, we all come here. And we very smart we are that we divide this into all different countries and tell, this is mine, that's yours, you stay there. You have that passport, you have this, and you can come here, otherwise you stay. And we bring all kinds of controls on ourselves. And this all control business started from Kamsa. And that is why it is said, this birth certificate business, Vasudeva had to face. So what to talk about us? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, his father had to go through certification. So why we should grumble about this? He had to go with Kamsa with the same thing. So this is how the nature of the material world is. So you can think further from that in your own mind, what else is going on. So after this has happened, the eight children, the sixth one was brought in. All this was going on. Behind the scene, a lot of things were going on. So when Krishna gave the promise to Bhumi Devi that he will kill her, he will kill Kamsa, Krishna will kill Kamsa, nothing was happening for some time. Bhumi Devi was waiting for this. So one day, Krishna told Radharani that I think I will not go down to the earthly planet now. My so-called appearance, I have postponed it for the moment. He said to whom? He said to Radharani. Radharani asked Krishna, why have you postponed? I think Kamsa's mind is changing now. You see, he was thinking of killing all the children. Now you send them back, all of them. He doesn't want to kill. Maybe his mind is changing. Give him some time. Let him, probably he may improve his mind. His conditions may change, he said. Krishna said to Radharani. So he has postponed this, he said. How did this news come out? The news came out that when Krishna invited the demigods to come, he invited everybody, but he did not invite one person. Who was that? Sri Narada Muni. He didn't invite Narada Muni to come. So Narada Muni thought, this is very interesting, because Narada Muni's mind was working like this. Krishna never invited me for this. He invited everybody else. He said, all right, I'll do one thing, he said. From beginning to end, I'll make it a success. Nobody will know whether they've invited me or not. How will others know? Sometimes in the marriage, when you have a marriage ceremony at home, you send marriage invitation to so many people, isn't it? Sometime by mistake or by forgetfulness or whatever it is, you miss out somebody. And then later on you think, oh, forgotten that. And then you have to do something about it, isn't it? So Sri Narada Muni thought, all right, Krishna has not invited me, fine. But I will get involved myself before whether he has invited me or not. And I'll make it a success from beginning to end. When he went to Goloka, Narada Muni has access to everywhere. When he went to Goloka, he heard this conversation between Krishna and Radharani. He didn't even go inside. Outside he heard this. He didn't even go inside and pay obeisances or anything. He just straight away left, came back here, went straight to Kamsa and told Kamsa, you know what's happening, he said. Kamsa, naturally, Narada Muni has one good thing. He is welcomed everywhere. Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, Ravana. There is not one person, every demon welcomes Sri Narada Muni because he is such a useful ally. Every time he brings such good information for him. So when Sri Narada Muni came and knocked at the Kamsa's door, Kamsa opened and said to him, not seen you for a long time. What brought you suddenly here? Matter is very serious, he said. Sri Narada Muni told Kamsa, that let us sit and talk. Close the door, he said. You know, when you have to talk something very confidentially, all the bosses, they close the door first. That because he may want to fire you, but he like to close the door before he fires you. This is, in all offices this happens, I'm sure it is. So they very gentlemanlike. So he said to them, Narada Muni said to Kamsa, do you know who you are? He said. Kamsa said, I am Kamsa. What is there to know more than that? He said. Narada Muni said, well, let me tell you, he said, Kamsa, you are not Kamsa actually. I am just coming back from the heavenly planet, he said. I'm just coming back from the heavenly planet. We had a big meeting there. All this is not mentioned in the Bhagavatam. This is all in the Mahabharatam. Mahabharatam, I'm saying all these things. When I went for that meeting, or did you speak in the meeting? Kamsa said, I did, he said. I did speak in the meeting. But the situation is very, very serious for you, he said. For me? He said, yes. Let me tell you, he said, you are not Kamsa. Have you heard about a person called Kalanemi before? Kalanemi was a big, powerful demon. Kamsa has heard about him, but doesn't know him, who it is. Take it from me, you are that Kalanemi, he said. You were killed in that war, in the Devasura, or demigods and demons in that war. And you were asked to come here. You were asked to come here in this body of Kamsa. And they are preparing there in a big level, big scale. Krishna is going to come down and he is going to appear from your sister Devaki Devi and a child will kill you. And saying this, Narada Muni finished his business and left. Narada Muni left and went back straight to find out what's happening there in Goloka. This is the man, he's very busy, he is. So busy that he got there to Goloka. When he went there, Krishna is calling Yogamaya, saying to Yogamaya, we haven't got much time to waste. Things are serious. Do this, he said to her. First of all, take Balaram, Adi Sangarshamurti, Adi Shesha Bhagavan, Balaram. Take him to Devaki Devi's womb and transfer him from there to Mother Rohini's womb and he can appear there. You go and stay in Mother Yashoda's womb among the cowherd men in Vrindavan, simple people, stay there. And later on, I will appear. All these whole programs, all this whole planning was, Krishna has given the whole operational modus operandi or whatever we call that, operational process to Yogamaya. And Narada Muni heard everything. Now everything is fine, he says. He comes back. So as soon as Kamsa heard this, what did he do first thing? He sent instructions to Vasudev, Devaki and the children all to come together here. All of them to come here. Six children and all Kamsa, Vasudev and Devaki all had to come here. He told them to put chains on them. Both Vasudev and Devaki chained them, he said, and put them in the prison. And in front of them, he kept these six children, one after the other in a row, leg up, head down, held them with the sword, cut them into pieces. Every single, all six of them, and threw their body there. That's Kamsa. When you read all these things, some thoughts come, isn't it? Naturally, it is, if our human thoughts cannot escape all these things. That Vasudev and Devaki happened to become the parents of Krishna, isn't it? Krishna was born for them as their son. If you have to get Krishna as your son, if you have to go through all these situations like they had to go through with Kamsa, how much can we all stand these kind of situations? Just shows that in the, it is not so easy thing or simple thing to have Krishna as one son. To come for Krishna to become a son and to take birth in that family, Vasudev and Devaki have burned themselves. They had to go through such a difficult life that they have experienced. For a father and mother only will know that when a demon like Kamsa acts like this to their children, they were all small children, they were not grown up, and they were smashed into pieces and thrown away by Kamsa. So it was in this background that Kamsa sent them, jailed them, and tried to get himself organized for the next step in this process. That's where the first chapter ends. Prior to finishing this, there are so many things to say about this whole 90 chapters in the Bhagavatam. It's endless, this is, because Srimad Bhagavatam, people have discussed and studied these verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam so intensely that it gives us so much nice understanding of Krishna's appearance in this world. How much parents of Krishna, Vasudev and Devaki, had gone through. How much Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi had gone through, although they all had the good fortune of becoming Krishna's parents in this world. No matter, no doubt about that, they were such great personalities in this world. They had that good fortune of becoming Krishna's parents. But prior to becoming that, only Krishna knows how much they had to bear these brutalities of Kamsa and so many others like that. So it is now 7:05 because we haven't got so much time. It's 10 past. So I'll stop there now. We'll continue with the second chapter in the next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.